If you don't like what we tell you to believe in, we'll kill you.
Is tedious on the right stuff.biz.
Yeah, welcome to Daily Show 903.
This is the good stuff, the right stuff.
I think we should try to make this the background and just try to position ourselves like in front of, of our avatars.
In front of these things.
It'd be pretty funny. But yeah,
that's I could just wear an eye patch.
That's true. You could wear an eye patch. Alex could, I don't know, hollow out the middle of his ears and wear like the
not
fangs. Yeah, it'd be kind of. Yeah, he draws the line. I draw the line at the middle of the year, the cartilage. Yo, turn down. What the fuck? I'm like grabbing this fader. So Mike's back from Fargo, finally.
That's quite the trip.
That is quite the trip.
Things get very, very big when you go did west.
Did you drive or did you fly?
Drove. We had, had a few stops to make, though, for other reasons. I would have flown... I would have flown, but there was other things that had to be done that didn't have anything to do with the thing.
I would probably get leg clots on a trip that long. I probably literally would.
Why you had to stop every few hours and stretch for a little bit.
I was going
to
say, why are you vaxxed? You get vaxxed up, get some leg clots.
Dude, I work for TRS. Of course I'm vaxxed.
Triple booster. You got
You get fired if you're not vaccinated.
those dividends aren't going to pay themselves. Get those vaxxes, people.
Right. Well, the whole thing is I'm actually getting you guys back.
Till the masks die off. Two more weeks.
Can cash in on the life insurance policy or whatever the hell it is, something like that. I don't know. Yeah.
As a Pfizer shareholder, what would be the point of having a mass die off? I can't give you any more boosters and get paid if you're all dead. No one's going to die. You're going to keep getting boosters.
So basically, we need to insert a protein into the shot that you die if you don't keep getting them.
Oh, that's smart.
No, you don't really want that because you don't want the bad press of people dying from your product.
No, they're dying from not having it. That's what you want. Because
the medical industry is not about, you don't want people to die or live. You don't want them to get cured of anything. You want to be able to, if they're dead, they can't buy anything. If they're cured, they can't buy anything. You just want to keep them existing and potential customers. So you want them just
the things I've been wondering about. The medical industry has a history of these shenanigans, right? Like, they do this kind of shit all the time. Like, they unveil a new product, it's bad for you, a lot of people die, a bunch of side effects. Has there ever actually been any sort of political repercussions? Anything real? Anything tangible?
What about, like, legal repercussions?
They get, a little slap on the wrist. Maybe they pay out some money here and there.
Yeah,
but
that's about it.
No one reins in the institution itself and says, hey, you guys keep seeming to do this over and over again. We want you to stop.
Something I'm wondering is, was there ever a reckoning over the lobotomy thing? I know they don't do them anymore.
I think they just
stopped.
Was
there ever a reckoning over?
There was never it was just sort of a we fucked up, sorry. I mean,
did anybody
That's the medical establishment reckoning is. Whoops. Yeah. Didn't work out too good. All right, we'll stop doing
that. That was the science of the time we all thought we were doing good. Guess we weren't. I mean, that's
right. What do you do when, like, you cut people's brains up and it turned out that wasn't a good idea?
Yeah. Well, we got.
I mean, who would have thought?
We did some large population studies.
But it's also, it's funny.
Smart. Go ahead.
I'm saying it's sort of funny because it seems to us now like it's so obvious that you don't cut up people's brains. It seems like a no brainer, right? Deutsch, right? But, like, it's not obvious to the medical establishment now that you don't cut off people's dick and balls and put a big hole in their grundle. Like, that's not obvious why that it's not like blatantly ridiculously obvious that you shouldn't.
That's why
do
I'm
that,
saying
which is what is wrong with these people.
Something is wrong with this institution, and it's been wrong for a long time.
What if instead
it's never been addressed?
What if instead of cutting off the dick and balls or tops, what if they just start giving lobotomies to trannies? Maybe you could make a comeback. The next Pfizer shareholder meeting, I'll propose this. Like, we just start doing lobotomy boosters. This would be huge. Like,
it's probably the same type of people.
You start becoming more of a schizo, you come back for your lobotomy booster. They cut a little more off than your takes on Twitter.
I have a thought experiment.
Yeah.
Here is a really fun test you could do. You could say, well, what if they developed a procedure where you go in and they just fix your brain and then you're happy in the body that you're currently residing in?
Like total recall?
I guarantee you there would be protests. People would be flinging shit left and right.
Right. And they won't even do research into this. Like, what if instead of changing your body, we give you assuming this thing is real, because most of it's fake at this point, we just make you feel better about who you actually are.
Yeah.
Maybe give you hormones appropriate for your biological sex.
What if we give you an mRNA shot and it reprograms your brain and now you're fine, you're happy with your body?
Well, now,
there you go.
Well, now,
what about that world? What if you just become a man? What if you actually just decide, I like having a cock and balls?
But mRNA shots are just like for mind control in World Economic Forum.
Right, exactly.
Well, that's what I want to do.
It's a great reset of your gender identity. This is a good idea.
The great gender reset, yeah.
Well, you know, this kind of segues into
what I want to talk
about a little bit, which was, you know, I very rarely actually in my life, even living in New York City when I did, encountered trannies. Now, if I still lived in New York City, I mean, you would see like fags doing like drag queen stuff, but these were not necessarily people that had like actually gotten surgery or thought that they were women. They were just faggots.
Yeah.
But, you know, things have gone so far. I would bet you if I were still in New York City, I would be encountering these people more regularly. There would probably be more of them because this country is churning them out. But Antifa is all trannies now.
Yeah.
It's just Trantifa. Like the ratio of trannies to non-trannies in that crowd in Fargo was like, it was probably like 75% trannies at least. And the people that weren't, and they were all of them were obese with the exception of like a couple. And I just remember like going back to 2017, 2018, when we would do stuff and the Antifa that would come after you, they would be like skinny dudes masked up and like wiry dudes looking like they're ready to fight, and sometimes like actually people that appeared as if they had some toughness to them, you know, and they would be somewhat intimidating because they'd be a large crowd of them all in black and they'd be yelling stuff and they come at you and be, all right, that can make you get a little bit okay, I should be on the defensive here. But on Saturday it was like human refuse just like shuffled out of this Antifa bar, just like these little short, squat, obese dudes in makeup. And I was like, what the fuck is this shit? I've never seen.
Yeah,
I've never seen such a pile of human trash.
It's a good thing that it's a good thing that our society is bending over backwards to make room for them.
Yeah,
make sure,
and
like enforcing
it's
you.
Not that they needed a gunt guard. They kind of needed like a gunt bra or a gunt support device.
Dude, the levels of gunts. There was this one libtard broad that just had like gunt. I've never seen such a gunt in my life. I have not. And she had like gunt accentuating pants, like those, like, you know what I mean? They're like these kind of, there's a kind of sweatpant material, but like elastic band that goes up over the gunt and it comes down gathers kind of like mid calf.
Yeah.
And, you know, and it like stretches in like a straight line from the gunt to the calf. You know what I mean? It's like, you know what I'm talking about? It's like, and I was just like, and then she had on like a t-shirt that like didn't quite hit the same level, like it didn't quite hit the waistline there, so like some gunt was sticking out, and she was yelling about like God knows what. But like, I was kind of disappointed, actually. I was like, you know, Antifa, I'm actually disappointed in you. You used to be tougher. What is going on?
I think I've got a term for this: the equator of cottage cheese.
Oh,
you get that little line there, and the shirt doesn't meet the pants.
It's like a bad year tire.
Yeah.
It's
yeah. Like a, you get that oh man, it looks like hail damage or something. Just, so.
it looks like a plastic bag filled with ricotta cheese. It's like, what is that Jerky Boy's like, my ass looks like a plastic bag filled with ricotta cheese. Like, my ass looks like a pillow that got stepped on by a football team with cleats. Like, Sorry. Anyway, But yeah, so that was just crazy. I've never, and of course, you know, they wouldn't answer my questions of asking them, like, what do you think about the little girl that got murdered? Do you have an opinion on that? Do you think anything? Because right now we're saying we want the guy that murdered her to be punished to the fullest extent of the law, including, you know, I would say penalty is in order here, you know?
What I was seeing, you weren't around to hear about it. So what I was seeing on, like, Twitter was the accusation was, like, the only reason you want him punished is because he's black, which was a really...
So what?
Yeah, but, like, this is a really inside out. It's like, the only reason you don't want him punished is because he's black. And, oh, the legal system sort of agrees with you.
Yeah.
And that's kind of a problem. It's like, this leads to a number of questions, like, so...
I mean, I feel like I don't even need to explain myself.
Yeah,
no one
needs to explain that. It's like just, like, tying you up with, like, bull... But it's
like,
funny, they
could say, like, no, I would want him punished if he was white, too. It's like, no. You need to explain why you don't want him punished. Like, that's more interesting question, right?
Yeah, why don't you want him punished?
Because
why don't you want him...
Because, you can just turn it around.
Actually,
it's like, so you're saying, I think that...
Not even that. Like, not even why don't you want him punished? Why don't you want him to have to even stand trial with the chance of being punished? Because that's where we're at. We're at, like, they're trying to get him out of even having forget punished, even having a trial. That's where they're at. That's what they're trying to pull. So
yeah. So what's happening here is, so we went to Fargo over the weekend, very long weekend for me, to protest the fact that about a year ago, the little girl, 14-year-old girl, Jupiter Paulson. Now I also learned details of what actually happened there that I hadn't known before, from people that were there, where this dude apparently, it was early in the morning, I think it was like June 3rd or 4th or something like that, and she was supposed to go meet her mom or something like that, and she had to pick up a uniform, or she had to drop off her mom's work uniform or something like that. She had to meet her mom and give her clothes or something, like clean clothes or something like that. And so she was out early morning, like around 6 a.m., and she was skateboarding. And that's a big suburban sprawl area out there, the part of Fargo where this happened, big suburban sprawl area, lots of, like, you know, big six-lane street with all big stores on either side just forever and ever and ever.
Yeah.
You know? I mean, you've seen, everywhere in America has seen this.
Yeah.
And it's, there was in one of these parking lots with these strip malls, or these numerous strip malls along this road, was a Party City, and then kind of like an alleyway along the side that actually was somewhat covered from public view, and that's where it happened. And apparently, there's security camera footage of him, like, sort of seeing her and then starting to follow her. And so he, like, stalked her. So he saw her. He saw, like, okay, it's – and so he's a sane person. You're trying to say he's not sane, but he clearly was able to make calculations because he was like, okay, so this girl's alone. There's not very many people around. There's actually nobody around because it's like dawn hours and it's still kind of dark out. And so I can just do this. I can just follow her, get her alone, and then do this just because, you know, he's a psycho nigger that wants to kill people. But even so, he was, you know, he made decisions to do this. And he had four other times he was in front of a judge on essentially criminal assault and always was like, well, if you do it again, you're going to be in big trouble. Like, they just kept giving him second chance after second chance after second chance. And in fact, he should have, just like Daryl Brooks, he should have been in jail the day this happened, and it's still not quite clear. We went over this long history of his criminal history on Strike and Mike once. It's still not even clear why the fuck he wasn't in jail. And no one seems to have to answer for that either. There did not seem to be any institutional pressure for anybody to answer for why he wasn't in jail when actually, if you look at the court records, he should have been, but he just wasn't. And it's not clear why not.
But there is a lot of media attention talking about how we need federal background checks for firearms. Or every firearm owner should be subjected to all of this stuff. Wait, what about niggers? Can we do a background check on them? Like how many people have you stabbed this week?
Yeah, because this nigger didn't shoot her. He's committed another crime while in jail. He stabbed a white correctional officer in the neck with a pencil.
What?
And of course, the system is saying we're going to put him on trial for that, but we're not going to put him on trial for that until the trial for the other thing is over because these two incidents are unrelated. And I'm like,
it seems kind of related. It seems like the same individual.
Well, it's just the same guy.
It's the same guy.
It seems like there's a pattern here. It seems like there's a definite pattern of behavior here. So you know, if you want to be some kind of nihilist about it, like, you know, it seems like the system itself is engaging in tactical nihilism on a big level with this guy in particular. And another thing I learned is that one thing is that, like, supposedly, like, for this guy, the reason that judges keep passing the buck and not hitting him with the full thing is, like, felony conviction means he gets deported because he's illegal. He's not legally here. And it was initially reported he's from Liberia, but then
he's not even a legal resident of the United States.
No, he's not. But yet the system is going into full gear to protect him from deportation.
Right.
If you're not here legally,
he's privileged.
Why are we extending all of these defenses and all these benefits to you?
Because you're black.
Because this is who they want here. This is what they want here.
Yes.
They can't because Alex, they can't deport us.
But the other thing is, I'm fine with not deporting.
Depending on where you want to send me, I'll go.
Yeah.
Right. Oh, this place you're not sending blacks, where is it?
Yeah, let's negotiate here.
Problem is, there's a lot of black people already there. It's like Liberia, Ivory Coast. It's funny because they're like, they thought he was from Liberia because he's just some like West African, you know, like he's some West African Mandingo. But like,
here? How did he get here?
I don't know. It's
technology and resources were required to get somebody from West Africa?
He didn't do it on his own.
Damn.
Yeah, he didn't flap his fucking nigger arms and fly here.
No, it didn't happen on its own. And so then it's also like, the funny thing is there, like, it's actually from Ivory Coast, not Liberia. It's like, what the fuck does it matter? Like,
Oh, Ivory Coast. That sticks out in my brain a little bit. That's like the homicide capital of the world. It's one of the most violent places.
All those countries, they're very, Liberia, Ivory Coast, Senegal, Ghana, all those countries right there on the western coast of Africa, like, that's where just like, the most violent blacks are from. It's also that's where all like slaves came from.
Africa, Mexico, and other places I don't give a crap about.
But the point is this. The system seems to be going into overdrive to protect this guy from the kind of charge that would sort of like automatically trigger him a removal from the United States. And the attorneys that keep going to bat for him, these like, you know, racial, anti-white, pro bono people that keep going to bat for this dude that's the case they make. Like if you do this, then he's going to get deported. If you do this, he's going to get deported. We can't have him deported. And apparently there was some shenanigans. We should actually have Pete Teft come on sometime and talk about this. Just go through all the shenanigans. He knows in his city in particular, Fargo, the kind of shenanigans that went on with like the refugee resettlement commissions and stuff. And he talked about something in the speech, which will be coming out soon. And some of the actual politicians that are involved, the actual names of these people.
Refugees from what?
I don't know, but it doesn't, it's like.
Refugees from other niggers? Like, well, there's a lot of niggers in my country, and they've ruined it, and it's violent and dangerous here, and I got to leave now.
He was talking about how there was some city meeting, and again, I have to get the details, but because I could mess this up. Like, there was meetings where basically arm twisting and intimidation was used on council members to basically get them to vote to like bring all these refugees into Fargo. And of course,
who's doing the arm twisting?
That's a very good question. What is going on? And so if it's like, all right, maybe you have like, I don't find it plausible, but I could see maybe the story being told. You've got like one nigger loving, libtarded, bleeding heart judge who just gives this dude a second chance. But it happened four times. And now when he's on trial for murder, he is, and you're gonna love this. I haven't even told. I don't think Alex knows this thing about the insanity plea yet. So four times he's given. So now you've got a systemic problem because it's not just one judge. It's not just one, the idiosyncrasies of one judge. It's a systemic issue. What is the incentive that these judges are given to keep letting this dude off? And in this case, he tried to do an insanity defense. In this case, the court-appointed psychologist failed him. He took some kind of test, and I don't know what the parameters of the test are, but according to the psychologist, no, he's definitely faking it. He's not insane. He's competent to stand trial. He is pretending to be crazy, and he's faking it. And I guess there's certain indicators that they know that tell them this. And so,
it's a nigger. Come on now.
Well, but no, you can't let him off the hook for that.
A nigger trying to fake something is probably going to be more obvious than if someone else was doing it.
Yeah, he's not going to be very convincing, but it wasn't. The psychologist said no. Like, he failed. He got a 10 out of 10 on the "you're pretending to be insane" test. He failed with flying colors. So, man, then what happened?
Can I use a similar test on people to comment on my social media? Is that possible?
But it gets worse. It gets worse. So then the defense applies for having that decision, appealing that, mm-hmm. changing their plea. And cause apparently after that, then he had entered a plea. And so he entered a guilty plea and then
an Alford plea, right?
Yes. He entered an Alford plea. I think so. I'd have to get all the details. But basically, he was allowed to change that.
Yeah, he was allowed to take it back.
And the reason was that they applied to have another insanity test done, this time from somebody that's just openly working for the defense team. So the question is this.
It's like when What's-Her-Face got
there. There's a number of questions.
It's like when the medical examiner in Chicago was like, yeah, no, we're going to have our attorneys see what Floyd died of. I think that was George Floyd. Was that Michael Brown?
Yes, they did that. They did that with him. They had their own report.
This man died of racism. Yeah.
Yeah, they're going to get a Dr. Tubin to come and be like, I can tell exactly how, the exact amount of volume of oxygen in this guy's lungs by looking at a grainy video. Hmm. You know, and so they're getting their own defense team sponsored test to see whether he's competent to stand trial. But the question is also this. Now, all of these legal wranglings and shenanigans are outrageous, but this nigger isn't paying for this himself.
No,
he doesn't have any money to pay all. So who is doing this for him? Who is paying for all this outrageous expense on his behalf?
And he previously did he previously confess and give a guilty plea? Is that what happened?
No, I think he entered. They wanted to do the insanity plea and they couldn't because of that psychology test. They entered an Alford plea, which is a kind of a no contest.
It's there's enough evidence to convict me, and I know this.
Yeah,
but I'm still not pleading guilty.
Yeah, that's basically it.
So I'm not going to plead guilty, even though I kind of acknowledge. I don't know. It's a weird
thing.
But
I could see why you would find me guilty. I understand.
Something like that, right? And so now they're withdrawing that, and they're withdrawing it on the grounds that they're getting a new test for insanity because they're going to try and run with that because they can't. No one's going to claim he didn't do it. So the only issue there is is he crazy or not? And of course, I'm telling you, I will bet they're going to pull this shit with Daryl Brooks and Waukesha too. They're going to try and get him because there's a few things that happen when they do this. They avoid a trial. When you have a trial, inconvenient facts can leak out to the public, at least from their perspective, which is in Daryl Brooks' case, it would be, well, yeah, this guy was openly talking about killing and hurting white people constantly. And there's just ample evidence of that, right? They don't want that to be seen by the public, so they'll probably try and get him to not have to stand trial. Same thing they did with Ahmaud al-Issa in Boulder, where they gave him a not competent to stand trial because if they put him on trial, then his social media becomes an issue, and anti-white stuff all over his social media.
It's this is why these Jews can't possibly win. They're never going to, because they just I could come up with a better strategy for how to handle this if I was in charge and trying to do this anti-whiteness and I was trying to manage the situation and get a victory. There are so many other ways to go about doing this. I mean, you take a case like this, you don't let it become news, and you do one of the trials that Branca talked about during the Chauvin trial, one of these murder trials where it takes about 3 hours, and it's open and shut. It's not, you just don't publish, and you just do it. And it just gets done.
Yeah,
get it out of the public eye quickly.
That guy's rotting in jail.
They're so spiteful that people that are caught on video doing absolutely heinous crimes, like niggers doing absolutely heinous crimes to white people. It's if you just convict one of them, you would probably diffuse a lot of I hate to say it, but you would probably diffuse quite a bit of tension over.
But they can't do it.
Yeah,
well,
but
here's the funny thing.
They can't allow themselves.
Why don't
to do
you
it.
Just run society in a decent way?
There's that too. But again, it's
if you're rich and powerful,
obviously
you
they
could
have
still be rich and powerful and run society decently.
Obviously they don't think
that's possible.
Obviously they know
they just don't want to do that.
They know very well that they can't run society decently. They can't be rich and powerful with white people because white people don't like them and get wise to their shit.
Or maybe they want to be like the way they want to be is such that like, well, we're not happy just like running a decent society and being wealthy and powerful within that. Like we're just like, we want it to be all fucked up.
Yeah.
So,
it's crazy.
So yeah. So there's just some, you know, there's just that. And I think the other thing is that there's probably some among them, some Jews who are like, this is going off the rails. It's going to, and we know that there are because we see the anti-woke stuff happening and all that crap.
Right. Well, we've seen there's always a push and a pull with whatever's going on. There's always Jews that want to do this and Jews that want to do that. We saw that with COVID. It was like a push and pull between people that want to keep getting paid and people that are like, no, we're all going to die. And then.
Yeah. And the problem is with the racial and homosexual agenda stuff is that they, in order to gain power, they actually unleash these ideological forces, which on some level are taking on a life of their own. So there are people out there that if you try and punish a black person for anything, they're just going to go apeshit. Like they're just ruled by pure ideology and they don't care. Like these people that came to protest us, it's like, do you understand that we are here asking for a guy that killed a little girl to be punished because the system is trying to let him off the hook? Ordinarily, that would be the kind of thing where you'd be like, listen, this is not a good look. We should just let this happen.
That's and what just I like, said. Just stay home, sit it out.
Right. But they can't
just sit it out.
I mean, if you sit it out, you also can be like, well, you can't really accuse. You can't say that we're for that. Nobody showed up to counter protest you. But now it's like,
but
now
if
we
you
have
sit
it's
it
like,
out.
Now it's
it
like,
might happen again.
Yeah, well, it's gonna. It should happen again and again and again.
That's their dilemma. Their dilemma is if that's their whole thing. That's their whole thing. Like we have to confront because their ideology tells them we must confront fascism everywhere. It rears its head no matter what, because if it's ever – because literally, it's literally – if it's
fascism,
given a platform,
fascism
people
is a,
will go for it.
And in this case, that's, fascism, quote unquote, is a murder trial for someone who
– well,
it's a murder
one
trial.
Of their big complaints about fascism is that it's all about law and order. No, they said this. They're like this, the law and order state, like the big – the daddy state, the big authoritarian police state, right? They're going to go punish people that are – it's like, well – you know what's actually very popular with the public is putting murderers in jail or executing them. It's actually really popular. The idea of executing murderers
is
very popular with the public.
The big daddy police state should be just like knocking on doors of people that don't like it and are, you know, just bothering. Just, well, just be harassing private citizens who have never committed any crime and just being like asking them about their
that's
political
the
beliefs.
State that's because they're like,
that's what they have. That's
or people that are like, hey, let's put niggers in jail. Like, okay, well, now you're on a list.
Yeah.
Because, like, we don't do that. So, yeah, that's what's so crazy about this current thing, which is why, yeah, there is an inevitable big thing coming in this country. And like I said, you know, when we did the – we did, like, a march from her home or right around where her home was to the place where she was murdered. And then from there we went to the courthouse and we did a protest out front of the courthouse. And then from there, we walked a few blocks over to this like VFW like thing called AmVets, like VFW type bar hangout. And there's a lot of boomers in there. And so we went inside, and you know, people knew them. Some of the local guys knew the people there. So we went inside and we did like a toast, and we talked to these people, and they loved us. Then they asked us what we were doing. We told them, and this one lady started crying because she was so glad that somebody was doing this. And they were really nice to us, and they liked us, and we did a toast with them, and they were all about it. And that's when the Antifa showed up and decided they were going to start fucking with us. And so it's like, and they were trying to shit. This one dude was like, I'm a Marine. What are you doing at the AmVets? And like, well, you mean the place where we were invited in to do a toast with the locals? Where they approved, where they were in favor of everything we're doing?
Yeah.
That place? Why don't you go in there?
I'm a Marine doesn't really inspire what it used to.
Yeah, also, I'm a Marine. It's like, I don't care.
It's like, so you're...
Like, that doesn't hit like so it used to, bro. So like,
I've looked at their advertising lately, and it just doesn't send the same message it used to, buddy.
I was like, why are you... But I was also like, dude, like, he was the only skinny person in their group. I was like, you must be, like, homosexual or a drug addict or something to be hanging out with these people, because, like, there's no other reason for you to be doing it. And it's just like, you know, go into the AmVets and tell them what you think. It was funny. One of the boomers like actually ran across the street to get up in their face and like yell at them. It was pretty funny. So yeah, no, they're not like they didn't have any issue with the fact that we're making this about race. They didn't. No one was going, why are you making it racial? Because everybody gets it.
Because the murderer made it racial.
That's also the only thing people only say that kind of shit online. that's the kind of stuff that, like, on extremely online conservatards say, why are you made race? No one, these people weren't like, why are you made about race? Because it's like, nah. Because everybody gets it.
Yeah.
Just look at the pictures of the girl and look at the picture of her murderer. It's like, come on now. You're going to pretend like this ape killing this girl doesn't set you off on a visceral level?
Look at the McMichaels. Tell me this isn't about race. Look at, I mean, how many right. examples do we right. have of it going both ways?
Could
have
used the McMichaels up there.
Yeah.
You know, so it's like they're going to do. Yeah. So those guys are getting the book thrown at them.
Yeah.
While the system is going out of its way
protect to help this fucking dude,
this guy, to protect this guy. So, like,
and all over the
that's
country,
the world you live in.
All over the country, niggers are running buck wild, shooting people, mass rampage. Shootings every day. And your system's talking about taking, you know, common sense gun control. Right. Matthew McConaughey is to come up and talk about your guns are the problem, Whitey.
Well, tell me that's common not sense. Gun control is saying, like, blacks can't have guns. Like, that's, like, legitimately, that's common sense.
I have some right here.
Because
you want to see some common sense gun control? This is responsible gun ownership right here. I believe this is in Nolens. I forgot.
You didn't ingest.
Every time I start, I forgot that every time I start Obvious.
Is always hard.
I only have one Brave window open, but Obvious is always looking at a phantom Brave window that doesn't exist.
Already I'm seeing probably.
Yeah, good this is good. God.
It's very responsible. This is common sense. Did you see the Stendo on that? Is that the word for it? Is it extended magazine sticking out
well,
of that pistol?
Well, this is just like...
I mean, this is, you know, I mean, look at this guy. Oh, point at the camera. Yeah, that's a good point, your friend. Yep, not lacking. For anybody, I guess our audio audience is getting cucked, but
they all start shooting each other?
For our audio audience, that's just a bunch of Negroes and mystery meats, like, pointing various assault rifles.
Is that particular AR at even legal length?
Oh,
where's the ATF on this one?
Is that a short barrel? I mean, I don't know. Maybe that guy's
kind of looks like an SBR. I mean, I don't know.
Maybe that guy's just really, really tall. You know, like, my investigation is done. That guy's just 8 feet tall, so it just looks short by comparison. Well, you can let that go.
I think that the government should look into this.
What's the capacity of that magazine? What state are these people in?
I think it's Louisiana. But it's like, where do you think they got the guns from? They got it from the government. Those are all surplus weapons. Like, where do these weapons keep coming from?
And of course,
the cope in the thread was. Let me see if I get back to.
Yeah. Well, here's the question, libtards. If it's common sense gun control, like, what do you have to say about this? Like, what you can't.
I'm
think
about
this
to
is
show
safe.
You. I'm about to show you. I'm about to show you exactly what they think of this.
Yeah,
here's the old picture of the white family in front of the Christmas tree and everyone's holding a rifle.
No, this is different.
These folks doing the exact same thing, I guess, but it's okay for them since they're white. It's like, well, first of all,
my question is this. You can choose, libtard, which group to go and stand around.
Yeah.
Okay, you get a choice. You can walk into the midst of either one of these groups, that white family in front of the Christmas tree.
Walk into that room.
Or just you can go and walk into that room and just be there.
Or go walk
or
down that street.
You can go and march with these blacks in the street. Which do you want to do? You have to do one. There's no, I don't want to do either. There's no, I'm going to say. No, you have to pick one. Tell me which you will pick.
And I'll tell you,
we shall pick.
Here's another own that they tried to post. Like, or what about this? I'm like, I don't want them to have guns either. Those people are black. Take them away. Every single one of these is a potential. I don't care if these are like hunter gatherer niggers. Like, at any given moment, like, you could be the prey. Like, I think they're trying to do like responsible gun. I'm just saying that, like, no, take weapons away from blacks altogether. Like, even the ones that want to LARP as white people that hunt for deer. Like, you catch any of these people at the wrong minute, at the wrong moment, and they might shoot you with one of those hunting rifles.
Well,
like,
they
have
just
no
shoot
reason.
Each other. I mean, it's also like,
by the way,
the question is this: if we're going to be doing collective punishment,
yeah.
Well, then target it at the community that's creating the problem.
We're doing collective punishment. We're doing collective punishment on who has been designated as a second-class citizen. And I say, I want to change who the second-class citizenship is, and it's not me. Because basically, it's just like there's no principle involved here that is at all ethical or whatever. So let's just not do that. So fine. I'm the first-class citizen. Everybody else can't have guns. Everybody else doesn't have freedom. Everybody else can't have like all the... It's like just like stop
just,
it.
Also,
like Miranda rights,
rights,
and all kinds of like shit involved in our legal system. Like, that's all great to protect accused white people. Like, in principle, that's all
but
fine.
The thing is, though,
but you have other groups here.
You don't actually even need to do that because they go out of their way not to apply their own laws to blacks. Like, the laws on the books would have these the jails filled with these people because it's been that way in the past. But the other thing is this. I don't believe you when you tell me you're for common sense gun control, but you don't have – but instead of when you see that parade of niggers waving guns around like idiots, like literally they're going to shoot themselves. Someone's going to shoot somebody. I bet you a lot of these shootouts happen because some nigger's doing something dumb and a shot goes off and the rest of them just start firing because they're idiots. That's probably how loud shit starts.
Actually, I think that's what starts a lot of shootouts is there's a loud noise and then the other chimp, he freaks out.
They just start firing because they're fucking retards. And they're probably – the loud noise is probably somebody being irresponsible with a gun
and
shooting it.
Honestly, I would be willing to bet, dude. I'd be willing to bet. A lot of times it's just firecrackers, somebody setting off firecrackers as these people like to do. And another person's got a gun and then they start shooting because they think they're being fired at.
Yeah. And sure. But the thing is this. If you see that and your reaction – isn't to say, as somebody who's for common sense gun control to stop gun violence, right? To stop gun violence. Because remember, we have to make no agency here for the people doing it, right? When you see that image, if your instinct is instead to say, "Oh yeah, well here's a white person with a gun," I don't believe that you're actually for common sense gun control. I think what you want to do is punish white people because here's a question. How many bodies do you think the people in that parade have, in that little nigger parade of guns? How many murders, total murders, do you think has been done collectively by that group?
Well,
now, how many murders do you think were done by that white family? I mean, it's just a no-brainer, and everybody knows it, and you know, and the libtards know it too. And they also know they would be nowhere fucking near that thing if they could avoid it, so I don't believe them. My thing is not even to argue with them. I'm just saying you have to prove to me you believe your shit because you don't. You don't believe in it. You're not about it. I don't believe you. Prove to me you actually want to control guns in a way that will reduce crime. Because I don't believe that you do. Because if your reaction isn't to say we should take those guns away, all those guys should be arrested and their guns should be taken so they can't hurt people, then you're just not for real. You're lying. You're just lying. Sorry. Now you can go now. Sorry.
Oh, I was going to say you need to lower the bar slightly on your comparison because these niggers, like, they don't shoot very accurately. So basically, if, say, how many times do they, like, open fire in public? Not murders, because chances are they don't have a very good kill ratio. So it's like, how many times do these people try to kill people versus how many?
But they kill a lot of people, though, so they must be getting a lot of opportunities.
But they like, spray and pray a lot more people than they actually kill, so I feel like you can't leave that on the table. Like, how
they
many
do, like, the dumbest shit.
It's
like,
it's like they might shoot some – they might kill, like, two guys, but they were aiming at, like, 20.
You know what they
You know what I mean? So it's like
what
it kind of
do?
What else do they do?
They're still doing it. They're still working on a very animalistic level where you know how an animal like will puff itself up to look bigger. Mm-hmm. So the adversary, the other animal, the prey or the potential competitor,
you're a puffer fish, Jesse.
Will retreat because
you're a blowfish.
Niggers do this too.
Yeah.
So white people have moved beyond, generally speaking, have moved beyond that animal phase of combat where we're like, what's the most efficient way to end this conflict with the least hurt to me or my side? Basically, when the most efficient way is not to get all puffed up, but to carefully and calmly aim and shoot at the thing you want to kill and kill it, right? Niggers take – when they shoot rifles, they, like, hold them above their heads to get, like, all – like, do-do-do-do-do. Like, they get all, like, monkey-like with it. And, of course, you can't actually shoot that way. Right, like you can't hold the rifle above your head and actually accurately hit anything. You'll hit something depending on how densely packed the people in front of you are. But
oh my god!
So that's one of the. That's also why they do this. They have to posture while they do it. Whereas to do a good, you know, you just
actually
boom. Okay, now you're dead.
I wanted to comment on this because I think I may have mentioned this in the last show, but libtards will show photos, for example, of white people with guns, and if you look in these photos, the white people, they have their fingers off the trigger, they have the gun pointed in the correct direction, they're not
at the camera,
they're not pointing. A lot, if they're shooting the gun, they're wearing ear protection and they have on safety glasses. None of that looks threatening to a normal person because they see that and they say, oh, that's a person who respects the firearm, and they're handling it carefully.
Yeah, and even when he's like a little kid with his first
you don't look at those photos and think, oh my god, I'm going to be shot by that person. That's very intimidating.
Right. Like they also would do the thing where they would be like you know, you'd be talking about like child soldiers in Africa or something. Be like, oh yeah, and it's like some little kid who's got his first like 22 rifle when he's like 10.
Oh my
and
god!
He's like, and he's like all happy about it. And it's like, no, but that's not a child soldier. Yeah,
he's doing the soy face with his first rifle.
So well, he's a kid. Come on, now. But you know what I'm talking about.
He looks like Shane when he catches a toad.
So this Benny Johnson person from Newsmax has like a showing you like how to take an L out of a W on this situation. Like this is probably the dumbest tweet I've ever seen. So you know, Matthew, my God, I'm gay. Went to the White House or wherever he went to give a speech about gun control. So Benny Johnson tweets Matthew McConaughey more gun control
that
now.
Fucking guy.
Also Matthew McConaughey, and then he posts this. It's a collection of screenshots of Matthew McConaughey acting.
Hmm.
He's like using weapons in films. It's like, you fucking moron.
He's not actually, you realize he's not actually doing that.
He's like,
that's fake.
It's like, why would you use, like, how can you be, it's like, I
haven't thought about Benny Johnson in a while.
It's like, I want to lose an argument right this second. I want to be ratioed. I mean, the ratio is still going up. It's like, holy shit.
I mean,
dude.
I suppose the argument, you could, the stretch of the argument could be like, you say you want gun control, but you do movies glorifying violence.
Well, you use
and you don't seem to have a problem with that. I can see that.
You
actually,
use prop guns. Yeah. You use prop guns in the service of a story being told in a film. Like, no, it's just like, nah, dude. Like, I don't know, like how often Kanye fires a weapon in the privacy of his own fucking whatever.
He probably does.
But it's like to bring the.
He probably does.
This is like the stupidest way because he's getting dunked on. I'm like, this is a thread of like, there's like Rick Rolls here. It's like. Oh, well, you realize
he's getting dunked on. But I would say this. There's a way to make the argument, which is that, like, you know, why don't you start? This would be a better way to do it, because this would be, rather than pretending and just showing pictures like, oh, he shoots fake guns in fake movies, be like, Matthew McConaughey, why don't you start your crusade for a less violent society by refusing to do any movies where violence is glorified?
Hmm. Also,
why don't you start by not taking any roles where your character uses a gun?
I guess good luck running for governor at this point. Or is that already off the table? I thought he wanted to do that.
Benny Johnson?
No, McConaughey. From what I understand,
Texas?
He had aspirations to run for governor of Texas. Like, you're not going to do that doing gun grabbing.
No, that's not. Even amongst the Beaners there, they're not interested in that.
Texas is not interested in gun grabbing. They're like, Texas wants to know why weren't those cops in the building stopping the shooter? That's what
right.
Texas wants
it's
to
not.
Know.
It's actually a much better question. And actually, that sheriff who is a Beaner has like not made. He was supposed to show up because he's got some other job. Like he's got some political job.
He's a city council. He was sworn in a city council like the day after or the day of the shooting. Some ridiculous fucking circumstance like that.
And he's not showing up to anything. Yeah. He's not making public appearances because he knows. Like, the people are just going to turn out to just berate him. And, I mean, the story there is not, like... I mean, the story there is, first of all, how the hell did this crazy dead cat bag-having lunatic, like, do this? But secondly, what the fuck were cops doing? And I can't even blame, like, white cops, because that was a very multiracial police response. Where of course they went out of their way to show white cops when they could, but like, let's be honest, Uvalde, Texas. I mean, look at the demographics. How actually diverse is every level of government there? And then that sheriff is a Beaner too. And yeah, they're just not answering. They're just like not answering questions. And this guy's just like not appearing in public. Because that's what people care about far more than like, how did this kid get a gun? Like, a lot of people are like, why didn't the cops, like, stop him? So we have really the worst of all worlds in America. We have black crime is going rampant. The government won't do anything about it. The attempts to make gun control, but which is, again, only going to apply to white people who aren't doing any of these crimes. And then police who just won't protect you. So it's like blacks are going crazy. They won't do anything about it. In any actual dangerous situation, the police won't protect anybody. They won't go into action to protect anybody. And they're trying to take guns away from the general populace. It seems like the government is simply misanthropic. It seems like the people running this system just hate the people that live in this country. And they just do.
Yeah.
They just do.
I mean,
it doesn't make any sense.
Right. That's the only thing that explains their collective actions.
Yeah, and the fact they've got this political system on such lockdown that any politician that steps out of line, because right now in America, the barrier here is like access to media and to people knowing who you are and hearing about you and like not getting fucking like brutally slandered by the whole thing. Like the Jewish total lockdown on the media is the problem here. So somebody could sweep into power with promises of like a fucking authoritarian crackdown. Like somebody right now, if they had the access to media and to the political system itself, if they didn't have all these ways of like doing election shenanigans to prevent people from that aren't approved by like the Jewish oligarchy from even getting a chance to stand in an election, if they didn't have just total Jewish lockdown on media. Like Donald Trump kind of broke through this somewhat. He was a shyster, but he sort of broke through it and he won. You could sweep this country with a promise to simply end black crime. And you could even make it racial. And it's this idea that there's some trigger point, there's some, oh God, people will freak out. No, people are getting fucking done with this shit, dude. People are so fucking done with it. The main obstacle here is just fear. It's only fear. It's not that people don't agree, it's just fear. People interpret people being afraid of speaking their minds as people disagreeing. Everybody wants this shit stopped. It's out of fucking control.
Yeah.
And so the fact is, the reason people don't talk about it and the reason they don't mention the race angle, which everybody knows about, you know, everyone knows about the race angle because nobody says it. And the reason they don't say it is because they're afraid. It's not because they like love black people. That's one of the worst black pill memes out there that people do is like, everybody just loves. No, people don't love niggers. People hate this shit. There might have been a time when people wanted to signal that because it would seem cool and popular and safe. Not anymore. This is what happens.
Well, the thing I was saying over the weekend, too, is you got the FBI engaged in this constant gay ops, constant fomenting of terrorism,
right. Yeah.
Constant surveillance of white nationalists. And it's like, yeah. if you really wanted to just reduce the number of white nationalists in this world, just do your job and give people justice whenever a nigger murders some white girl. That's all you got to do.
I can't do it.
It's like, I don't want them to make these arguments and start agitating in the streets. Well, don't let them make the argument by taking it away from them.
Take the argument off the table just by doing your job. It's not like it's not like you'd be doing something bad or unethical. Like, it's like, it's really crazy.
Do your job. Just do your job.
It's like you don't want to say this, but you keep leaving it on the table. Like, you could totally undercut everything we do and talk about simply by doing your jobs. Simply by literally take somebody like Daryl Brooks and Arthur Colley, charge them with federal hate crimes, and fucking execute them. Do you understand what a blow that would be to the white nationalist movement? You would probably freaking just decimate it if you did that. Because people would be like, oh, the government's just doing, you guys have been saying they're not going to do that, and they're doing it. Look, you look stupid.
Yeah.
But they can't. They can't.
I'm just reading another, like, New York Times weepy story about Uvalde. It's just like,
I mean, look, it's sad, but it's like,
well,
white people didn't do this to you.
It lays all these facts out in front of you, and then like it just can't come to any real conclusion. It's just this muddled mess.
They can't actually.
I mean, they can tell you all these things about his disturbing posts online, all these disturbing interactions he had with classmates, all that everybody knew this guy was kind of a nut, and yet it's like, well, yeah, and yet what happened? Why was he able to buy a gun? It's like, I don't know. Why didn't anybody check up on this?
That's a good question. There's a thing they're trying to get the libtards to talk about is saying that, like, talking about like a mental health crisis is like a cop out because they're just on the gun control thing, right?
Yeah,
because
they're just
on gun grabbing. And so when,
yeah,
you know, Greg Abbott, he was a piece of shit, but like he comes out and he says, like, yeah, no, this is like, we got a mental health issue. And they're like, how dare you?
Parents have been critical of the delayed police response to the shooting, but they have also been asking increasingly pointed questions of school officials and people close to the gunman. Did no one pay attention when Mr. Ramos began behaving strangely or dropped out of school? Why did fellow students not report their disturbing interactions with him? Is it mere coincidence that Uvalde was home to two mass shooting plots in 4 years, or does that signal a unique problem? Apparently there were two kids in eighth grade were arrested in 2014. When was that? Oh, the attack was planned for this year, but when did they arrest them? No, they arrested them in 2018.
Okay. Well, actually, I don't think Uvalde is particularly unique in that. Dude, since that shooting, there's apparently, it's funny when like this, it's revealing the fact that this country has a really stupid race ideology.
Yeah.
Is the what's at the heart of everything that's wrong with it.
Yeah.
And so it's really funny because after the Uvalde thing, apparently some kind of messaging went down through bureaucracies to school officials and police and whatever that, you know, threats to school, violent threats to schools have to be taken very seriously and report them immediately. And we'll actually go and arrest people. Like if there's a kid that's even joking about it, he's going to get a visit from cops and he's going to be arrested. So I've been reading like almost every day now, there's a story about another nigger from like New York City or Long Island who's arrested for saying he's going to shoot up the school. Because the funny thing is, it's not just that like they say they're going to do it, but like they see the shit about the mass shooting on TV and they think it's funny because they're black and they just like violence. So they go to school and they say, I'm going to shoot up the school like in Texas. And then it's like, okay, now you have to be arrested because that's what the school officials have been told. But now they're just arresting a lot of black people. So again, that's going to create a contradiction where they're eventually it's going to get resolved in the favor of like, well, now we have to just let black kids make jokes about shooting up the school. And eventually one of them's just going to do it. And then there's going to be tears and questions. Why did this happen? Well, it happened because you won't face the reality of race.
Yeah.
That's what's going on.
Any measure you implement is going to disproportionately affect niggers because they're fucking niggers.
It's because just, like when you literally say, and I could have called it, like when you say, and white people, even,
no.
White people get the message like you can't joke right now about like no jokes about shooting publicly, even gags, Fed Posse gags. I mean, there's some really retarded people who do it, but it's marginal. Generally speaking, when you say in America, hey, if kids are joking about shooting up the school or even just mentioning it, even in jest, we're taking everything seriously. So you have to, it has to be all reported and they're all going to get a visit from the cops. They're going to get detained or something like that if they're even discussing it in any way, shape or form. We all know what's going to happen. Is it just going to get a bunch of fucking niggers shooting their mouth off about shooting up the school, which is what's been happening. They've got like three that I've found in the last few days in New York. That's just New York.
Ultimately, I think that's one of the reasons they can't do anything with gun control. Because even a dumbass, basic bitch conservative, they know on some level that, nah, you're not going to go take guns from niggers. We know you're not going to do that. We know because of Black Lives Matter and this other bullshit that you're not going to go and enforce any sort of
check. And they could because the niggers have illegal guns.
Yeah, I was just going to say.
They don't actually need new laws.
Yeah, the guns that the blacks have currently are illegal. And they let them off the hook when they catch them doing shit. Like, remember the famous Glock 22 shooter from New Jersey. Like what came of his Glock 22? The one with 22 bullets in it. That was the origin of the meme. He had a Glock 19 with an extended magazine that had 22. I was like, oh, that's a Glock 22. That was the original. So he shot up a block party.
I was gonna say it's impossible to have a Glock 22 with 19 bullets
Firearms that they're not supposed to have. That just becomes another entry on that CVS receipt. That's the rep sheet.
Yeah, yeah. But it's like, do they even charge? Like you're already committing a felony in New Jersey, I think, by having the Glock 22. I don't think you're allowed to have 7 or 10 round magazine in New Jersey. If you're allowed to have, I don't even know what you're allowed to have. Honestly, I've never lived in New
York. I'm not sure where you're allowed that, but I guarantee you.
But I know it's similar to New York. I know
it's very difficult to get a handgun license.
I know in New York, like you're stupid. You can only have a Glock 7, as far as I know. In New York,
sure.
New
Jersey's that's for rifles. Like, God knows how hard it is to even get a handgun.
If you can get a handgun, you cannot have one of these cool like double stacked fucking magazines in it that holds 13. You have to have like 7.
You also can't have one in New York City.
No, not
you have to be law enforcement.
No. But so with New Jersey, but it's like the guy who did like the shooting, did he catch a gun charge too, or did they just? I mean, at the time, like they were like, oh, it's the aggravated assaults. It's like, oh, okay.
Yeah, I wonder if they just top off. I think that's also probably a reason that they probably don't. They probably drop those charges.
Yeah,
I bet you the prosecutors drop the gun charges.
They drop them so the judge can be like, well, we're gonna have to give you another.
So it doesn't trigger
chance
some kind
here.
Of automatic thing.
Yeah, you know? Okay, I gotta go see. I can give you 3 months of this, 5 months of that, and you'll be out there, and you'll have another chance. I believe that systemic racism of America's justice system. You deserve a second chance at life here and turn yourself around. We all know that you didn't need to own that Glock 22.
Remember the guy that shot the nigga that shot up the mall and then like they let him out on bail because he might lose his job.
I don't remember.
This is just like a month ago or so. Like so he shot up a mall. He didn't kill anyone. He shot like a bunch of like 9 people. I don't think he killed anyone. But they arrested him, and he got arrested. Our guys don't get bail, right? Our guys get arrested because they say, like, someone says in a chat, like, I want to punch a commie. Like, oh, well, I got to keep this guy in jail indefinitely because there's no way that was just letting off steam. This nigga shoots, like, 9 people. They let him out on bail, and the reason he was, like, he may lose his job if he has to miss work. I'm like, well, wait, do the people he works with have a say here? Like, do they get to be like, listen, I don't feel safe on the job with this guy? Like, do they get to say that? Or now they're racist, right?
Yeah, that's probably
But true. Yeah, it's just like, that's what I'm saying. Like, you can find at the heart of, I mean, the people that say, like, you make everything about race, like, if you don't, you're fucking stupid. Because one, they do. And secondly, like, it's at the heart of all of this shit. Everything, every dumbass thing that this country does can be traced back to its stupid racial ideology.
Alex, the commenters in prep are saying how they like our new co-host.
Oh. What's his name?
Yeah. Who is he? Who is this guy? He's good.
It's only been 2 shows.
I know.
Jesus.
That's
But I'm actually kind of... I actually don't even remember all the banter I had for these fucking fat tranny anti...
I heard some of the banter. Something about diabetes.
Oh yeah, I think I said that. Yeah, did I say that? Was that on video or did you just hear that?
No, it was on video. It was on video.
Was it me or was it somebody else?
I don't know who made the diabetes comment. That was
my first gag. Was like, it's not very nice. Well, my first gag was, well, they don't outnumber us, but they definitely outweigh us. That was my first gag. And I think some diabetes come. I actually was one of the trannies. I was like, listen, I know that you have imposter syndrome. I know that when you're on Zoom calls, you get disturbed because you're looking at your own face and you realize you don't really look like a woman, and it gives you dysphoria. And I'm sure that's a difficult place for you to be. Like, I was doing this type of, I was going to that level of stuff with it. They were getting so fucking mad, dude. They were getting very mad.
There were actual trainees there.
Dude, there was one person that looked like they were just in drag. There was some dude in like a dress and like a red wig with like makeup on.
Low effort.
But there was also like, these people were trainees. And like really, really obese people. Like obese women. And like there was like some, there's like a fat brown girl, like a really fat, probably like 350 pounds, like 5'2" brown chick who was like, here's the thing. When you're like 5'2", like 300 pound brown girl, like automatically anything you say is disregarded. And I'm sorry, that might not be fair, but it's just how it is. Like, nothing that comes out of your pie hole is serious in any way. Like, you can't say anything that anybody will take. You just can't. It's impossible. Trying to, like, do banter with me. One, it's not
you showing up. Like, you showing up and doing this is actually helping the people you're trying to fight.
Oh, yeah, no. It was great propaganda for us. I mean, it was legendary levels.
You have created an amazingly bad contrast here, where you've got a bunch of fat, disgusting, spiteful mutants lined up on a corner, along with some slack-jawed niggers, and across the street you've got what appears to be a healthy, well-dressed group of young white men,
very energetic people.
And all they want, is for a murderer to stand trial.
Which one of these has bad ideas?
It's like you want a murderer to stand trial, and they don't.
That's the other thing.
What's funny is if mainstream like liberals and shit hear about, like, they have to struggle to not punch to the left, and it would be fun to watch them like pretzel themselves.
Well, it's also just bad politics. One, opposing what we were doing is bad politics. Yeah. But two, showing yourselves and showing yourselves for who you are. Like, when we were calling them anti-white, they were chanting back, "Goddamn right." I'm like, all right, so go tell everybody. Like, don't just tell me. Like, we're accusing you of being anti-white, right? And they're like, they were chanting back, like, "Goddamn right." Because we were like anti-white. They're like, "Goddamn right." I'm like, okay, so literally tell everyone, tell the whole city. If you're not ashamed, tell everybody. Tell everybody you're anti-white. And then, of course, the thing the dude is like, well, you have people driving by saying white power, because some guy drove by and he yelled white power out of his huge truck at us.
Yeah.
And I was like, okay, like nobody. Yeah. I was like, yeah, so what? So white people don't deserve to have power or something? And they were like, no. I was like, all right, well, who should have power? They were like, nobody. I was like, okay, so Jewish people shouldn't have power. Black people shouldn't have power, right? Like, if you're saying white people shouldn't have power because nobody should have power, well, list all the groups that shouldn't have power and start with Jews. I want you to say it.
I highly doubt any of these people have ever been in any kind of argument or debate or discussion.
No, they're just liars, too. They're just lying. Like,
we have hit this point now for so long where the censorship's been so hot and heavy that you don't actually get any pushback. You can be just flagrantly anti-white, and you can have all kinds of stupid ideas rolling around your head, and no one's ever going
to
call you out on
them. They had nothing to say. When I was trolling them, they had nothing to say, dude. Like, they were out of fucking... I was even telling them how disappointed I was in them.
That's really good.
Bands. I was like, you know, there was a time when you people had a little bit more going on. Like, you're really not sending your best. Like, I'm sad. I mean, I'm sorry. Some of those old Donald Trump lines still work. Like, not sending their best. Mm-hmm. Like, seriously.
No, that would be devastating to use that kind of old propaganda, because they're still like MK Ultra over it.
They probably don't even. They're probably too young to even remember that not sending their best. Like. But yeah, like, it was funny because we were out in front of the courthouse, this nerdy little kid, this skinny little nerd in like tight jeans and like some kind of vest with like, you know, he had like the broccoli top and like glasses. And he rolls up and he takes a picture and he tried to pretend like he agreed with us to get the picture. But like nobody, I was like, yeah,
there's no okay, Zoomer.
Yeah, literally, I was like, there's just no way. Like, just the way you're presenting, you're a fucking anarchist. I can tell. And then of course he was in the crowd when they came. You know, we were chanting, as I said, we're calling them capitalist pigs, which was hilarious. We thought they didn't get it. They were like, that doesn't even make sense. Like, no, it makes sense. You are literally capitalist pigs because you're fat.
I mean, how many streaming services do you subscribe to, capitalist pig?
How many Twinkies did you slam today? Like, how much like corn syrup did you shove into your gourd? Like, what have you done? Like, what, how much crap have you indulged in today that is only brought to you by capitalism? And not only that, but your ideology is the same as that of capitalism. Like,
yeah, it's probably
yelling at them like, go to google.com/apply. Like, you get a job as an HR manager, like all this type of shit. Funny thing is, they're in their own world. Like, they don't see what we say. They don't know. They're only told what we say.
Right.
So they're very surprised by this. They don't get that we say that they're capitalist pigs. They don't get that we say that they're like the same as Google and the HR department. And some people were saying, we were there wondering with the boomers how they would react to us like trolling them for capitalism. They just thought it was funny.
Yeah.
Because in the heat of the moment, they don't give a shit.
Well, because like, boomers, no one cares. Also boomers,
they're not going to be like, I like capitalism. They just think it's funny that we're yelling at these fucking retards. They just thought it was funny.
Boomers also, it's not lost on them that like every major corporation posts a rainbow flag all month. This, like, it's not, right. They see thing. That too. So they get it. They may, well,
I would
they
say to them, they might have some MK Ultra over the word capitalism. You could be like, so you like capitalism? Be like, yeah, I like capitalism. Be like, but do you like big corporations? No, I fucking hate big corporations. So it's like, all right, so it's same thing, right? It's like the essence of it is more important than the word you use. So, like, yeah, you hate the system that's oppressing you, which is this system, right?
Right.
But it's just really funny how they were like, it doesn't even make sense. We're like, no, believe me, calling you capitalist pigs makes huge amounts of sense. Yeah. Like, it's very sensible. But yeah, that wasn't the funny thing. That wasn't even supposed to happen. Like, that just happened by accident because we were where we were and they came there. They said, we're going to go confront the fesh. It's like,
capitalism is your gender identity in decay.
Well, gender politics is capitalism in decay.
Mm-hmm. Okay, fine.
It's just Judaism in decay.
I was just trying to be silly.
Yeah. Oh, man. Yeah, so it's funny, man. There was also, it was funny, there was a drug clinic right across, like, catty corner from where we were, and I was kind of like, hey, all you people, just go there. And it was like, at some point, like, there was this dude that came out, it was like a Methodist, like, it was like Methodist drug thing, right? I forget exactly what it said. Like, it was like drug counseling, but the Methodist church was doing
okay.
it. So we figured, like, libtards probably run this thing, right? Because Methodist Church, like, in Fargo is definitely libtarded. And so these people came out, and they were staring at us. As one dude had this stupefied look, at first I thought he was, like, a libtard, like, gawking. I was like, no, that's actually just a drug addict.
Poor guy. Hope he's all right.
Kind of bad, but, like,
hope he's all right.
I was like, wait, is that a libtard or a drug addict? I'm not sure. Oh, drug addict, okay. But probably could be both. You never know. But he was just like, huh? And then he, like, walked on. I was like, even that guy had better sense than the Antifa, though.
Fancy.
But yeah, anyway. So, I guess we can probably take a break.
It would make the show a little bit. We're about 10 minutes short of doing that. I mean, we can't.
Well, oh, really? Oh. Oh, oh, wow. Yeah, it's actually
An hour and five minutes. I don't know what this is, but I'm always entertained when I see her face pop up.
Oh, this is broad. So this is a diversity hire.
I'm just wondering what she's saying.
What we're trying to say, what I'm trying to say to you, is that the economy is in a better place than it has been historically. And so we feel here at this administration, and other experts as well, is that we feel that we are in a good position to take on inflation. We are in a good position to really start really working on
How are you defining economy? Are you just talking?
I mean, you're talking about going back to like the Stone Age?
Are you talking? Clearly, you're not talking about the economy the average American experiences.
They're touting a lot of numbers about job creation and low unemployment, and I'm like, okay, but I'm just always
it costs $90 to fill your tank.
Yeah, they're talking about what were they talking about? I had a bit there. Oh yeah,
prices spiked in one fucking day.
Like, what are the strategies for combating inflation? I don't think you have one.
Well, we talked about this before. One strategy is we're going to take away those Chinese tariffs, and we're going to let the Chinese sell us cheap product again.
Okay. What about Russia? I mean, all of this stems from energy shit that you're using the Russian war as
are drivers of inflation. So
this is like, what are you going to do to like aggressively reduce the gas price? How about have Zelensky surrender, stop all the sanctions, open up other...
How about you lose?
And reopen our home-based drilling and whatnot and stop exporting our energy elsewhere. I mean, I saw there was another story that
we saw. We have oil. Like, you want to send it to Europe so that they can stay oppositional to Russia. How about you let Europe buy Russian oil and we keep ours and everyone's happy? How about that?
There was a story I was looking at yesterday briefly. I didn't read the whole thing because I got distracted by something that shiny or loud. But I can't remember. It was either Wall Street Journal or... I follow Wall Street Journal and New York Times on my Twitter feed because I like to be agitated all day.
I love it.
And there was a headline. It was an opinion piece that was saying, like, basically laying the blame for inflation at the victim. He was saying one of the problems is like out of I can't remember what they use, but basically like demand is too high, like over demand. I'm like, what the fuck are you talking about? Like people don't want more gasoline than they did last year by a factor of two. Right, like gas prices have almost doubled.
If you want twice as much gas,
that's not happening. People want to pay less.
See, the lockdowns have ended, so everybody's out driving and stuff.
Well, then how come it was so? How come gas was so expensive during the lockdown when we weren't? How come gas was already high during lockdown? I remember when I moved and I got out here, and gas was like $2.60. I was like, what the fuck? I mean, there was not overage of demand. I wish I could remember.
That seems like a dream. But
yeah, no, but I was mad when it was $2.60 because it was it was like $2.25. But even that $2.25 is historically high.
The excuse that they're saying is like prices went the capacity went down during the pandemic. They were shutting down operations, and because of that, and also demand was down because people were locked down. So now it's back to normal, but capacity hasn't caught up. And I'm like, I just don't believe you.
Shit.
I just don't believe you because it's not that hard to spin it back up.
Also,
like you're acting like it's super hard. It's not.
Also, Biden is already on record saying that like these gas prices and this inflation is the cost of a clean conscience when it comes to Ukraine and Russia. It's like, so you've already come out. That's already the policy I'm trying to find this. I'm on Wall Street Journal's Twitter
page. Right, and they try. They that. Like just pretend, and they're doing this in England too. Apparently, in their presses, is pretending that the what they're calling it cost of living crisis, and here people say like gas prices are on the same basic thing.
Cost.
But they're
of
pretending
living.
It's like unrelated.
cost of living with Jews crisis.
Yeah,
cost of living with niggers crisis. Yeah,
right. Cost of living with Jews. We have a cost of living with Jews crisis. Yes,
that's what we have here.
Yeah, so it's like
I wish I could find this. Oh, it was. I think they said. I think they called it excess demand. They were basically saying it
no
was like
demand
excess
is demand.
Demand. Like, demand
I'm,
is demand.
I'm gonna go back to my basic bitch economic.
Demand is demand, and there's a price fixing scandal going on worldwide right now. They're using the Russian war as a smokescreen to just profit.
Well, additionally,
to just profit. What is even the word for it? It's just like it's obscene. You're obscenely profiting over.
They're asking like the OPEC countries, like, hey, can you help us out? Because
I found
all this capacity is now not available for the West because we decided to be really dumb and sanction Russia. And the OPEC countries are like, why would we do that? Like, we like money. They're like, sorry, we can't do it. You know, also additionally, like, just there's no reason for us to not just love the fact that prices are super high. So you're on your own here. Sorry. Can't help you.
Oh, here we go.
Capacity is
so
capacity.
I'm sorry.
I can't go further.
I remember my Rush Limbaugh too well. This is one of the tricks they're playing. I've got this Wall Street Journal opinion up now. It's called the U.S. and Europe have different inflation problems, but it's more painful on the continent, but more persistent and demand driven in America, by Jason Furman. He does this whole bit here. Strip out the volatile food and energy components and core inflation. Core inflation is like stuff that doesn't matter. Core inflation is like shit that nobody has to buy. It's like they tried to create. I think they created it during the 70s.
Core inflation was like what those Antifa people have. Like, just like.
Well, core inflation is basically like
America could actually do with less core inflation.
What's a bunch of goods we can track with a. Where the price doesn't fluctuate much, so we can pretend during inflation crises that there isn't one. That's what core inflation is. So it's like it doesn't include gas, doesn't include milk, doesn't include food staples. It's just like I don't even know what's in it anymore. Core inflation, which economists focus on because it's a better predictor of future inflation and the more volatile headline number, and a large gap emerges, measured on a comparable basis. Core inflation is about 6.5%, which is still high, while growing only 3.8% in the euro area. That's just insane.
Well, the thing that nobody wants to acknowledge is like everybody knows how to make this stop. They just don't want to do it,
right?
Because it's not their policy,
right?
Like they just have these policies.
The policy
is
like you just suck this up and you just live with it.
Yeah, the policy is like you're not making enough. You're not making enough politically. Like we can continue to like pawn it off on. Other bullshit instead of just like the core. What about like the core Judaism? What about
you know,
like the
I
core
gotta
policy
tell you,
of like Jews? Just is like they don't give a shit. Like you just have to suffer, Whitey. Like your gas is like.
I gotta amend.
Dude,
I gotta amend my previous statement. This article isn't as outrageous as I originally painted it. It's actually just another really vague, muddled, like nothing is said. Article. It's like really. It's
right.
Actually,
I mean,
it's just like taking
that's
up space.
That's kind of the point, though, right?
Yeah.
Like that's kind of what they do. And, dude, I noticed this because I was driving, which is that gas prices were about fluctuating between like $4.50 and like $4.80 on the drive out.
Yeah.
On the drive back, they were like $5.50. I was like, what happened?
Wow, that much. Yeah.
Like overnight, it was like boom.
Well, somebody decided.
Like they
somebody decided we can make
and every
$5.50.
Everybody did it.
Yeah, we can make this much now. Okay.
Yeah, yeah. The closer you got to the East Coast, like it got like slightly cheaper. But you know, out in like the Midwest states, it was like $5.50.
Yeah,
I
was looking at $4.79 and $4.89, and then suddenly it was $5.09 yesterday when I went out. I was like, oh, okay.
Yeah,
all right,
cool. Yeah. See, there you go. It hit here too. Then, sure, yeah.
Yep. Nobody knows what can we possibly do about this. There's got to be something. Remember when we used to argue about drilling in Anwar? Remember Anwar?
Why not? I mean,
oh, it's a wildlife preserve. Can't you? It's like we didn't buy Alaska so that we could drill oil. Oh, wait. Oh, yes, we did.
That's literally why they bought it.
They bought Alaska to drill oil in it.
like, what was it? There's pictures like those, like, those elk and caribou or whatever they have up there just, like, chilling by, like, oil well. It's like they've got, like, the oil.
Yeah.
They've got, like, the thing. It's like you're not bothering them.
According
like,
to
I don't know what the idea that they're really the wildlife are really bothered by the drilling. It's like Alaska is very big
to me that it's accepted that you shouldn't disturb wildlife in Alaska, but you can import violent niggers into Fargo and just turn them loose.
Yeah,
right.
No concern for environmental impact or well, the general health impact.
I don't think Ann Coulter would lie to me, but she said that Anwar, there's actually no wildlife there. It's like the surface of the moon. She said. She might be lying. No, I just remember that being like the pictures of those elk. Like those aren't in Anwar; those are just somewhere else.
That's like somewhere else.
Yeah. Like Anwar, Yellowstone. Anwar is just like an ice sheet.
I don't know. Could be. I mean, I'm sure that the amount of wildlife there is much more sparse than average.
But
still,
it's like who cares? Like you want elk, you want.
Well, the other thing is like, did you drive around California? Sometimes you see oil pumps like along the side of the road, and it'll just be like animals. Just like all right. It's like nature plus oil pump, like whatever. And a lot of them aren't. Well, I mean, a lot of them aren't operating. Why not?
It's just another battle conservatives have like lost. They haven't totally lost this one yet. It's possible that they could get some pipelines turned back on if the administration changes. That's really the only thing you get that's slightly different between the two parties anymore. Is you
that's
get
another funny thing.
You get
right?
green crap, or you get you know.
They shut down that pipeline.
Yeah, Keystone.
They're very interested in shutting down pipelines.
It's like
got to be.
This has always been my thing. Like we're in where they want it. This is where they've always wanted us. Like consuming Man. Very little energy and spending a lot for it. For some reason, that's always been the goal. Because carbon footprint stuff and global warming, it's all a sham. It's all a lie to get something else done in their favor.
Right.
And,
right. Well, like, I think also.
I mean, conservatives lost the argument that like. They got to classify carbon dioxide as a dangerous greenhouse gas. It's like, no, fuck you. Like, that's coming out of your mouth every time you say that it's dangerous. So, like, but they lost on that, too. And that a lot of this is.
But think about this, though. Think about this. Right now, we are in a politically unstable situation.
Right.
And I'm sort of questioning the idea. I mean, I think this is something worth debating or not, because I could be wrong on this. But it might be that introducing economic precarity during a time of political instability might be a good way of like controlling the population. If you think about or just preventing
could go either way.
Because if it's like really expensive to do stuff, it's harder to now because the other side of that would be like, well, they're introducing economic instability as well as political instability. It becomes like a tinderbox. But maybe that's sort of just like conventional wisdom and they know better where they're like, no, actually economically stable people are more likely to go and do politics. Whereas if we keep people in a precarity, then they'll just be so focused on their precarity that they don't focus as much on politics. I'm not sure which way it goes, but I could see either argument.
Mm.
I could totally see them being like, oh,
well,
are hating our policies on this and this, like basically a crime and black people policies. So let's just make sure that that's very expensive to work.
It didn't work out with COVID, so I'll have higher hopes. You know, COVID didn't create a giant wave of radicals ready to do anything. Hopefully this will. I don't know.
There was that was like kind of a managed radicalism, right? It was like this is where there was a lot of people that were like, yeah, let's be mad about this thing. So that's the thing to be mad about now. And I'm like, there was a lot of positive feedback you got for that being the thing. Like, oh, look, people in power are doing it. It's going places. But it's like, yeah, but what is it really even like? What's the long term implications of this politically? And the long term implication of it was, I think in the end, even that is going to backfire on them. And I'll tell you why. They sucked now because our thing always was, and there were some people that didn't like this, was they're trying to get people who were like kind of racialized or radicalized for racial nationalists, kind of suck them back into.
Oh my God. I used to,
however,
I used to argue with Stryker about that. He's 100% right. I know. So I know personally people that are no longer white nationalists because of that sign up. It was terrible.
So do I. But there's another element to this. They also sucked a lot of people into libertarianism from the general population.
Okay.
And those are people that were never white nationalists.
Right.
Where are they going to go? And there's actually a big problem right now. We talked about it on Strike and Mike, I guess, like several months ago, last time I was on the show, where they're – I'm joking. This was like 2 weeks ago, where they are they're mad because the libertarian movement is now being like taken over by the Mises Caucus. Oh. Now, the Mises Caucus is in some ways stupid. But it's also the big complaint is, and the SPLC has been writing about this and other groups have been writing about this, they're racists. Hmm. Or they don't care about race. Like they made racial statements. They made statements saying they don't give a shit about like people's feelings because of race. And knowing that style of libertarianism, because I used to be like those people, it was a way to be like, you would be perfectly fine saying, well, yeah, obviously if white people don't want blacks around, it's their property. They should be allowed to do that. Right. It starts there. And it starts like not being, you know, you're no longer cowed.
And it
by
ends
some
with
15
muffles,
right?
Three
well,
crematoria.
It's actually, like edgy libertarianism has some uses. I mean, you don't want to get stuck there forever, but it's like they obviously, you know, we saw a lot of people come from that into this. And yep. I feel like COVID brought a lot of people into libertarianism. And once you're in libertarianism, the Mises people who would Ludwig von Mises himself would probably want to put them all in jail. But like, cause they're openly making racial statements now. Yeah. And so it's like the pipeline is,
well, that's
I
good.
Think that pipeline is about to have another, we're about to have another influx.
Oh, so our pipeline has been reopened. Biden.
I think that pipeline got reopened. That's good. I think that in, that's what I was talking about. I think there's going to be another influx of people into our thing from that over the next few years. And that's it's going to be their fault for making people libertarians during COVID. Cause once that's not exciting anymore, which it's already not, but it's going to lose all of it. It's going to be totally unexciting in like 2 years. Well, what's race is always going to be with us.
And it's getting worse and worse.
And it's getting worse and worse.
And there's not, all the fake moon landings in the world aren't going to be able to stop people from becoming racist. From libertarianism.
Yeah, no, it's. I really feel like there's some, like there's a definite shift in mood, and it's been since the COVID stuff has kind of gone by the wayside that people are now, holy shit, niggers are out of fucking control.
Yep. So, anyway, let's take our break here.
It's also summer. Summer is always, you know, the heat always brings out the wild
and everything.
In the Dindu.
Yeah,
and
that's, I've got some clips we can look at when we come back. I think we probably have a Merchant Minute, but I didn't check. But don't call me a liar if we don't, but I'm going to try for it. We'll be back in a few, guys.
You are listening to the Daily Soa.
I always got to leave that up a minute. I know you people want to look at it.
I just want to say one thing.
Okay.
To the FBI agent watching the show, that is a photoshopped image. I do not own, nor have I ever owned or even seen a weapon with a suppressor or a silencer or whatever the hell. I think that's from a James Bond movie or something. I don't know.
I thought that was like a laser.
I don't have an eye patch either.
What the fuck?
I thought that was like Solo like fake gun. They're like pew pew pew. Like that's a real.
Oh, maybe that's.
I think
that's
what it is. That's some sci-fi shit.
I thought it was like a yeah. I think that might be literally what that is.
I'll tell the FBI that I really did have that mustache for one day. So it's true.
Well, yeah, that's fine.
It was a good gag to have the.
But yeah, just to make sure they don't think that that's like a handgun with a silencer. I've never seen or held, nor do I approve of such items.
So let's see.
That image is what we call.
Were you gonna go to Brett Kavanaugh's house dressed like that?
Okay, subject changer.
I've never. I don't even know where. Well, yeah, we could talk about. I don't really want to.
Well,
talk
I
about
guess
Chevy
just for
Chase,
a second,
honestly.
Like before, I was gonna do this first, but yeah, somebody, a gunman armed with a knife and a gun, went to Brett Kavanaugh's house. Even though he was armed with a gun and a knife, he didn't shoot or stab anybody. He somehow got stopped. Somehow, some way, the system prevented someone that was in possession of weapons and had ill will towards another person, didn't manage to do any damage or violence. How did this happen? I was told I'm under the impression the only thing that can stop gun violence is guns not existing and not being in anyone's business. This man had a gun and a knife, and he didn't do anything. Somehow he got stopped. It's almost like somebody investigated, somebody took some initiative and did some police work, and somehow managed to stop a violent shooting before it occurred. I've been led to believe that this is impossible. That this outcome is impossible. That if you have a weapon, you're going to shoot people. And this guy didn't manage to shoot anybody, even though he wanted to.
He actually wanted to. A lot of people have guns and they don't even care to shoot anybody. But
does that kind of provoke any sort of discussion about left-wing ideology and violence?
No.
Why'd you go shoot just Kavanaugh?
It's just going to go down and this never actually happened.
What if the situation was different and the Supreme Court was deciding against some sort of right-wing issue and a right-winger showed up with a gun?
Wait, hold on a second, though, Alex. Why are you even assuming any ideology? Maybe this was just a person that was angry. Because remember when Rand Paul was attacked, you know, we can't assume that guy had any political reason to do it. He just didn't like his neighbor. Maybe this guy just didn't like his neighbor. Maybe Brett Kavanaugh is just a bad neighbor.
I'm actually willing to believe that about Rand Paul. Maybe he is just an asshole.
I kind of doubt it. I don't know.
I mean, he's probably, it was his
maybe
neighbor.
He's probably cool,
but like,
we'll put it out there. Probably a good neighbor.
I doubt he's a bad
that Jerry
neighbor.
Curl.
He might be. I mean, I don't get that vibe from him that he would be a bad neighbor. He probably minds his own business completely.
Hey, I'll be friends. I'll be neighbors with anybody who like makes like a sourpuss face and claps not so enthusiastically for a Netanyahu
speech. Well, Rand Paul also, I mean, let's not forget, trendsetter for a generation with that haircut. Like, how many people?
Yeah, right.
He was like the first guy that had it.
He's the original Zoomer.
He was like the original broccoli. The original.
You don't do a Zoomer edit with his photo. You just put the photo up there.
No, he's just the eternal Zoomer. Yeah. He had it before. Is that what that's about? Are the Zoomers all like secret, like Rand Paul cultists? Like Xers are Ron Paul fans and Zoomers like, no.
No
the new
this.
Hotness is like the Rand Paul. That's what he's going to call it. The Rand Paul.
For real. No cap.
Dude, in Fargo, there was a cop that had that haircut. And apparently it was really funny because as we were driving out, we see this cop with like, it was like broccoli top cop, right? But, like, so we were laughing about it and then mentioned it later on. And some of the guys that were still in the parking lot when this cop was there, they said that the cop even was, like, talking about it where he's, like, he was, like, self-conscious about it. So, like, yeah, it's not natural. Like, I did get a perm. So why are you telling me? Why are you telling me?
Rand Paul's perm almost looks like Jerry Curls.
Yeah, I know. Rand Paul, the original Zoomer. He's also a manlet, so it all
works.
He could
have been in Pulp Fiction.
Was it Coming to America
where Eddie Murphy were like the members of that like full force like get off the couch and they leave behind those wet stains?
Yeah, that was like the soul. That was like Soul Glow, right? That commercial. It was like just let your soul glow. I think was that Coming to America or was that
I don't
one
remember.
Of those Eddie Murphy movies? Maybe it was Beverly Hills Cop. I don't remember.
Maybe
whatever.
Could have been. All right, I don't want to get a copyright strike.
Oh, dude, that's gonna be my head for the rest
Axel
of the day.
Axel Foley.
Herbie Hancock.
We also missed another little piece of news.
Was that a Herbie Hancock composition?
Yeah, it was Herbie Hancock.
Oh,
yep.
No. Alex just sent me a link to The Root. Oh, Jesus.
Check out this headline. I love the headline.
Has this picture been blacked? Because I feel like I've seen this guy's face before. I don't remember being that black. I don't remember.
He's Afro-Cuban, I believe. Yes.
All right.
Look how they describe it.
Enrique Tarrio. I remember him being like, I don't know, more mocha than that. That's like, he's chocolate. Enrique Tarrio, white supremacist Proud Boys, Afro-Cuban leader, charged with seditious conspiracy.
So they're saying that, of course, the only Proud Boy that gets charged is this guy? Because he's black or something? Is that what they're doing?
No.
Okay. They don't care.
They're just happy about it?
He's a white supremacist, see?
Yeah, they like that. We'll see how proud they are now, it says. Leaders of the far-right hate group, the Proud Boys, Enrique Tarrio, along with several of his members, charged with seditious conspiracy yesterday for the roles in January. Like, when are you going to charge Donald Trump and Rudy Giuliani with that?
Well, of course, niggers can't even get their reporting right. They were indicted on it. It's different. I guess it's kind of the same. I don't know, whatever.
You know who else was indicted in that same one? I thought indicted is when you're charged by a grand jury. That's just what they call it. You get indicted.
I think you get charged, and then you have to get indicted. and then you go to trial. If you get indicted, then you have to defend yourself. If you don't, you can be charged and not indicted. I don't know. It doesn't really matter. No. But the point is, you know who else was charged in that or indicted in that? Our buddy One Punch Man, Ethan Nordine, along with Joe Biggs and one other guy, I forget who.
So these guys were all at January 6th.
They're basically getting fucked. And they're actually making a thing of this. So one of the things that's happening is that when they were first doing the January 6th trials, because the actual thing that these people did was so minor, people were getting off with like a few months here and there.
Yeah.
And then that Jewish judge, Beryl Howell, like had a fit saying like, why when like my beautiful mind had to be disturbed by this protest? Why is it that these people are getting off so easily? So then they've now taken a few people and charged them very heavily. And so now they're using these 20-year sentences for some people. They're pressuring others to take plea bargains where they're getting like 7 years. And of course, these are fucking, yes, for like basic stupid shit, like going into a building when you theoretically weren't supposed to, even though the cops said you could go in. Additionally, they're fucking kangaroo courts because these are people that are from places like Arkansas going to Washington, D.C. and sitting in a case where the jury is made up of fucking niggers and fucking D.C. libtards, like D.C. critters, like government critters, like fucking 99% Democrat. Plus, they're also libtarded fucking ideological pieces of shit, or they're just like black criminals. Like, that's who lives in D.C. Like, that's who lives there. So when you're pulling people out of like, you know, small town rural America or even like just other parts of America, and you're putting them in front of juries there, like these are people who are literally just have a ideological and like racial hatred of these people, and they're just deciding on that ground. It's not deciding the grounds of the law. It's like, I don't like Big O Barnett. I don't like Ethan Nordine and Joe Biggs. I just don't like them because of who they are. So I'm just going to throw the book at them because I can, because the system is facilitating it. That's the system we live in. And now they're doing this January 6th hearing on like primetime TV.
Yeah.
And Jews are hemming and hawing because they're worried that like people aren't going to watch it. Like the Colin Report had a hilarious editorial up about like some Jew was like hand-wringing over like, okay, so every network except Fox News is carrying this hearing live as it's happening. Are people going to tune in? I'm like, no, they're not, because nobody in the public gives a shit. This is my question. It's like, I get that it's really this is something that's really motivating, particularly for DC people, because it made them feel vulnerable on some level. But why the fuck should anybody else care? And the fact is, they don't. Like, no one gives a shit. And like, people, the thing is, the other thing is, you're doing all this shit to these people, like, pretty secretly. It's not being blasted in headlines across the country what's being done and the sentences being handed out to these people.
No, it's
because people wouldn't like it.
It's despicable.
People don't like it.
Just like everything else they do, they got to hide it. Unless they want to, unless they've got something they want to make an example of to scare you, they hide what they're doing. Like, then,
the January 6th hearing is to scare people.
It's just going to make people mad.
That's what they're like. It's like a sedition.
I hope everybody watches it, because it's going to be a laughable show trial, and it's going to do nothing but harm the legitimacy of the state even further.
Yeah.
Like this,
yeah,
like,
listen, look
like listen to this idiot comment.
Hysterical idiots.
This idiot comment on the root. It's like, start small. I'm sorry, small start, and it's getting late in the game. Many of the leaders of the January 6th Republican coup are still lurking in the halls of Congress in the fetid swamp of Mar-a-Lago. DOJ better get busy and start arresting those people, or the attacks against American democracy will continue until they succeed and the Republican apartheid nightmare will be guaranteed. It's like, bro, have you noticed they're not going after any of those people? It's like, there's a clear roster of Republicans and Trump apparatchik that should be arrested, and they're not. Why is that? Why are they going after average people that do nothing? Why are they going after people that you have a, I mean, these people are nobodies. These people are private citizens who showed up to a protest that they were requested to be there by the sitting president of the United States. He sent them into that building under ambiguous purposes. He told them, let's go cheer for our senators and congressmen. We won't be cheering for all of them. We'll go in there. I'll be there with you. And then they get there and the simulated riot comes breaks out and the cops all let them in the building. They get set up.
Here's my question, though. Who is writing this? What's the name of the columnist here? For the root.
Oh,
what I
was reading was a comment under it. This is the article is Keith Reed, the commenter.
Keith Reed. Well, here's my question for Keith Reed or whoever you are, right? Like, niggers don't care about this, so why are you writing about it in a website ostensibly for black people?
I think we just want to laugh at the Afro-Cuban. They want to look at the Afro-Cuban race trader, I guess. That would be their,
well, the fact of the matter is that the root is not really for black people. It's Jewish, and it's just for like, it's for like a tiny layer of like Jewish mulattoes.
Really? It's so grug. Oh, okay, that makes sense. It's so grug and dumb.
Well, it's dumb, but it's super anti-white ideologically. Yeah. And on things where like the average nigger like does not, like, do you think the average nigger in America gives any fucks about January 6th? No.
Yeah, I don't know.
No, nobody does. Beaners don't care. Blacks don't care. Chinks don't care. Whites, no one cares. The only people that actually cares are literally like DC critters. And those niggers that get on those juries in DC, they don't even care. They're just like, oh, I got a chance to be mean to a white person. Okay, I'll take it.
Yeah.
It's ideological. It's like people with ideological reasons to hate white people and blacks who are given an opportunity to just like hurt a white person and taking it. Like, that's what's going on in those juries. And it's just disgusting. But nobody actually gives any fucks outside of people in DC who were mad that like their afternoon was disturbed.
Mm.
Like Beryl Howell was like, oh, I had to look out my window and see National Guard troops. I'm like, don't you live in the nation's capital? Like, it's actually not that unusual to see military stuff around that part of the country. Like, why would it be?
What did you do that caused your constituents to show up there in force? Like,
yeah, why do the people of this country hate you so much? Why does just like everybody hate you? Like, that's the thing. People might have like kind of dumb reasons or distracted reasons or silly reasons.
Oh, yeah.
Everyone hates these people. Maybe everyone's not as on firm ideological ground maybe as we are, but everyone hates these fucking people.
It's sort of like everyone does. You'll see these libtard outlets complaining about how the great replacement conspiracy theory is taking root in the majority of these Republican voters. Oh, my God.
How did that happen?
Yeah.
Maybe stop doing it. It's like
maybe
that.
Maybe it's not a conspiracy theory. Maybe that's what's happening.
It's just observable reality, and it's hard to tell people that it's not real when it's literally everyone can see it. Additionally, what was it that guy running for Senate, state Senate or something like that? You guys already talked about this?
Senate.
The guy that said
Arizona.
Senate? Yeah. For Arizona. Okay, so he said blacks are doing the crimes.
Black people are doing the crimes, yeah.
And they just did it like a wow, just wow, but nobody said he was wrong.
Speaking of which, you mentioned like why everybody hates these people. I just looked it up. I do this from time to time. Congressional approval rating, 20%. 76% disapprove. That is
I saw some kvetching. That Joe Biden's approval rating is lower than Donald Trump at its lowest.
Yeah, I saw that as well too.
He's at like 29%. I mean, he's like rock bottom for a president. Like, it's so low. But it's also, they're trying to make like some libtard thing, they're trying to make excuses like none of it's his fault. I'm like, sorry, you don't get to do that. Like, what was it? I mean, the buck stops here is kind of a dumb thing, but it's also like, well, it does kind of. Like, you don't get to do that. The last person that gets to say it's not my fault is the president of the United States.
It's almost like somebody knew that we were going to go through all this. You needed a guy that could just like, you get like an 80-something year old
totally
man.
He's disposable.
And like, he can just be run out of office in shame one day, and it won't fucking matter.
He won't even realize it.
Yeah.
Yeah.
His legacy.
He'll tell them he's still in charge. He's at the nursing home.
He's still going to be soaking his feet in Epsom salt and, like, you know, whatever. But
that sounds delightful.
He's still just going to be sitting there, like, you know, putting arthritis medication on his hands and, you know, whatever. Wow. It's no big deal.
What was Congress doing in April 2021? They were doing pretty good. They had a 33% approval and a 62% disapproval. What happened in April 21? They were doing that's
they give people a bunch of money.
One out of three people liked them? I've never heard of such a thing.
Was that after they gave people money?
I don't know. They don't usually do that. It was after Joe Manchin. Like, what bill did Joe Manchin shoot when that poll was taken?
April 20th. It seems like an odd time for people to like Congress.
This January, they were 18 and 80. That's the worst. Those are the worst numbers.
That's when COVID stuff was going wild. It was in January.
This past January? Right?
Extinction burst of COVID politics was in January.
That makes sense. 18 and 80. How did it rise now? That's what I don't understand. Does Congress seem to be working? Probably because of Ukraine.
There's like a couple of people like changed their mind. Like,
they're doing a good job saving the Ukraine from the
Putin. Question is, who even says, yeah, they're doing a good job? Like, why would you ever say that?
Well, not many do. That's the point.
Like, well, I know, but I remember when it's still like even 20% is hot. Like, what?
I remember
it might just
under...
be someone that just says yes because they didn't think about it. Because if you actually are asked to think about the question, like, what is Congress doing specifically that you like?
It's well,
like,
no, I'm not dead.
Wow.
Yet.
Yet.
Search me. You caught me. You got me. Wow. Okay. I never really thought about it like that.
Oh, you reminded me of what I announced. I had several novelty takes to make you mad. I don't know if this was going to make you mad, but it just reminded me.
It works.
2020 election. Okay. Hotly contested opinions that there was election fraud or that white men stayed home. I just come to the conclusion, of course there was election fraud, but it was unnecessary because of all the white people that stayed home. And the evidence of that is how that far they overshot taking the Senate and Congress. Because they had managed to make Trump so unpopular and so worthless throughout 2020 with the riots and with COVID that he was such a weak paper tiger. And combine that with the fact that he did absolutely nothing for his supporters, there was no reason to vote for him. And that they did the fraud just to because they were anticipating a little more support from him, but they didn't actually have to do it. So it's both.
Why would that make me mad? I agree with that.
Okay. Well, it might make you mad because... I was talking to Borzoi about it. He's like, I've thought that for a long time, but I don't mention it because I think that would just agitate people. And I'm like, well,
wait, hold on a second.
That's all I want to do.
Borzoi didn't mention something because he thought it might agitate people.
That seems out of character.
No, like, Borzoi is a wonderful.
Wait, this was the thing where he decided not to agitate people?
Borzoi is a wonderful, beautiful man, and if you are agitated by him, it says something more about you.
Oh, I'm never agitated by him, but I see him agitating. Is my point.
Well, usually it's just
and
like,
he usually doesn't give a shit.
Well, Borzoi's usually
I'm
like,
not agitated.
Borzoi's like, I'm expressing a truth. And then people are agitated.
Yeah, but he's expressing a truth about people that aren't me. It's like all people that don't like. So I'm like, yeah, okay, I can see that.
Well, sometimes sometimes he's expressing truths about people that we do kind of like, and then they get mad, and they're like, fuck. I was like, it's not like it wasn't true, but I
sometimes
still like
I'm
you,
like,
though.
You didn't need to do that. You ain't got to say it like that, though.
So
I probably just like.
Speaking of this. This congressional approval thing.
Oh, okay.
I noticed Jazz Hands had posted an article from CNBC saying that nearly half of families with kids can no longer afford enough food 5 months after child tax credit ended.
Well, is that because they had to pay their child tax credit back? Maybe that's why they can't afford food. Like, oh, this free money, we have to pay it back? Oh, fuck.
Yeah.
I didn't realize that because my government absolutely fucking sucks. And even when it does finally get around to giving me money for something during hardship, it's just an interest-free loan. Shit. Of my own fucking tax money. Oopsie.
Yeah, it's just you're just forwarding your tax rebate. Oh, so you now have to pay us because you're over.
Yeah. I saw some other crying. I think he posted as well that they were crying about redistricting. And I can't remember what the numbers were. There were dozens of Republicans running unopposed or against very weak underfunded candidates.
Oh,
really?
A tax strike could actually be an effective tool at some point.
That reminds me of another thing. They're doing a recall.
Okay.
On Chesa Boudin.
On what?
Yes, no, they did
the
it.
DA?
Yeah, San Francisco Jewish... District Attorney 60. This is why I'm saying people are fed up with nigger crime.
What's the name?
60%. Chesa Boudin.
That was like a fucking. That was like a fucking Star Wars character.
Yeah, his parents were weather underground terrorists. So here's the funny thing about Chesa Boudin.
Of course they were.
So he's a Jew. I don't know if he's gay or not, but I'm just gonna go ahead and assume because he's San Francisco.
Yeah.
So he was like a Soros-type DA, like Larry Krasner and all these types, right? So he's one of these people like, don't ever put niggers in jail. And he gets elected DA in San Francisco in 2019. And the crime has just gone out of fucking control. And he's applying this super liberal – it's funny. It's like, why are you doing that in your own – effectively your own backyard? Like, it's a very – San Francisco's a very wealthy gay and Jewish place.
Yeah.
Wasn't always so, but used to be quite a nice place. But you know, it is what it is now. And apparently, it's just this.
San Francisco,
it's just too much for people. Even in San Francisco, they pulled this guy back. But the
San
funny
Franciscans
thing about it is,
San Franciscans used to be really smug about residents of other cities that their city was so much nicer. The city was like, it's like a European city. It's like this wonderful.
Well, they were like,
place.
It's like, yeah, they would say it's like little, it's like a little piece of New York and California, except safe and nice. Everything is nice. There's no like
not
shitty parts
anymore.
Of it. I was like, San Francisco is very, very scummy and seedy because of all like the diseases and gay sex and all everything, just everything. But
there's human shit everywhere. And that's why, here's why that's okay.
Well, that's what you get. I mean, that's what smug liberalism gets you.
Yeah.
It's like you're smug, but then there's like shit all over your yard.
There were some really, really good comments from Chessa on this that were just amazing copes. But here's a couple. People are right to be frustrated. There's so much room for improvement. People should hold all of us to a higher standard.
Okay.
Let me make it very clear about what happened tonight. Boone said the right-wing billionaires outspin us 3-1. And get this, they exploited an environment in which people are appropriately upset.
Okay, but weren't you in power for 3 years? Also,
you created the environment.
But
you're
there's
the
also
they're mad.
But billionaires in San Francisco aren't right-wing.
Yeah.
They're not. Like, I guarantee you, these so-called billionaires, these billionaires that you're saying outspent you, are all, like, fucking filthy libtards.
George Soros. I mean, George Lucas.
That's like, but it's also like, who funds you, Chessa?
This prosecutor.
What social strata do you come from? I mean, his parents were Weather Underground terrorists. They actually were put in jail for some kind of bombing attempt that they did at one point. But
this prosecutor,
like all Weather Underground people, they fail upward. And their son, of course, got a Rhodes Scholarship and went to Yale.
My jokes. I want to do my jokes.
Sorry.
This prosecutor may have gone a little far in a few places. If we can get Chessa working, then everything is going to fall into place. No, well, George Lucas lines. We can get Chessa working. It's the key. Chessa's the key to all this. That's what it is. Jar Jar's the key to all this, right? Is that what he says?
We got a little Jew on Jew action here, though.
All right, I'm not going to start doing Watto.
His opponent is Richie Greenberg. Trying to get himself into a mayoral slot.
Richie Greenberg.
And he's the one who's leading the charge.
Richie Greenberg.
Like I said, so
we're
it's
saying
exactly
common
what I,
sense
so,
prosecution in San Francisco.
But if Richie Greenberg cleans it up, like it's just only going to be cleaned up for those people.
Right.
It's like Richie Greenberg is like, Chessa, listen, buddy, go do this somewhere else. Shit in someone else's yard, not ours.
Richie Greenberg. That's sad.
I like how they try to talk about his parents. His poor parents, they were in jail, and he visited them when they were in jail. That's what inspired his career as a public defender.
His parents were like left wing anti white terrorists.
Didn't your parents like kill
so
people? Like
weren't they in jail for
armed robbery
or some shit?
Like, they bombed something. I think they said they're Weather Underground terrorists.
But they were terrorists.
But he also gets, like, again, when your parents are in the Weather Underground and you're Jewish, you get nothing but privileges and rewards your whole life. Like, you're literally, that's just a signal that you're a member of the elite.
Right.
Like, the Weather Underground was just, like, elite. It was literally, like, elite Jews that wanted to just kill white people. Like, here's that was the what comment. It was. They were...
I found it. I'm glad I found this. This is the other thing he said. Voters were not asked to choose between criminal justice reform and something else. They were given an opportunity to voice their frustration, their outrage, and they took that opportunity. Wait, so to choose between criminal justice reform and something else, what do you mean? What do you mean, Chessa?
Well, what's the other thing?
Yeah.
Something else. What's something else is like, so he's saying like these people don't have policies. They're just mad at me. It's like, okay. But your policy was like...
What did you do? You're mad for a reason. Something you did.
The problem was what Chessa did was he applied the stuff. He shat in his own... He's like shitting where he eats.
Damn.
It's like, and now San Francisco is just a lot of shit where they all eat. But, yeah. Now, I'm assuming that just like the rich, privileged people that live there... We're just fed up with it.
The other thing is he's bitching about billionaire spending, but isn't this the same guy who was basically put there by George Soros?
Yes, that's
This was that was an op that happened like over the course of the last 10 years. At least George Soros.
Also, the pretense. Right? Anytime a Jew has a pretense that like billionaires aren't backing him, I'm like, you're a liar.
Yeah.
Stop talking about his billionaire shit.
Billionaire just means like, Jew.
Yeah, billionaire is just a Jewish person. So you're saying these right-wing billionaires. Like, trust me, billionaires are not right-wing in San Francisco. There's no right-wing. They're basically billionaires that are like, hey, listen, just leave it out. Like, again, it's so obvious. And it's just, I almost wish that they didn't recall them just so San Francisco would get more filled with shit. Like, fuck
that
place.
That's interesting.
Hope it falls off and floats out into the ocean.
The shit has gotten so bad, they actually did do a recall and they were successful.
Yeah. Dude, they would recall Eric Adams in New York City, who I was assuming was because he's black and an ex-cop, was elected to like clean it up, and he's not able to do it, and so his approval rating is now at like 20%. Like, the problem is that these Jews unleashed ideological forces, and one of the places that the ideological forces are going to be strongest is in your own enclaves. Because when only privileged fucking rich people take up these viewpoints, well, guess what? Places where privileged rich people live are actually going to be affected by them. Because that's where they're going to have the most immediate ability to enact this. So you fucking apply your dumb, stupid race politics to San Francisco, and just like a bunch of filthy Jews and rich faggots have to deal with nigger shit all over the street now.
Yeah.
And I'm perfectly fine with that. Go for it. You made your bed. Now you sleep in it.
So let's visit. And then, some more?
Wait.
I was gonna move on, but if you got more, go for it.
All right, let's move on. Let's move on.
Well, I wanted to talk about Neil Steinberg for a second.
But I wanted to.
Okay, what have you got?
Nothing. I've got niggers shooting each other in Philadelphia. I wanted to look.
Watch that. That also will seg you into.
Oh God! Hi! Oh my God!
Oh wow! That's just my
about that.
Well, look at that nigger. That's a big nigger.
We got a couple videos here. This is apparently where the fight started. How it started, where it's going. Hey, yo, nigga, oh shit.
Well, way too many some people.
Now, that was responsible gun ownership. See how he had that shit holstered and he pulled it out? He's walking down the street. Good trigger discipline. He's not shooting himself.
Excuse me. Do you have a concealed carry permit for that?
Well, it ain't concealed now, nigga. Two on one, and one's got a gun. Like, what? I love niggers.
Yeah.
Why didn't you just shoot?
This is more fun. This way he can actually accidentally shoot his buddy, too.
I don't understand.
Oh, nice.
Yeah, why is... Uh-oh.
These niggas are such cowards, they never capture the good part. They're always ducking. My God.
Just keep filming. Come on, jeez.
How much pavement was injured in that attack? My goodness. Ah!
Oh!
I keep hitting the wrong button. There was another
huge
one.
Niggers on the screen.
So here's this other one.
We have
multiple angles. We got a lot of footage on this one. This is a. Oh, we have no sound.
Man, so
here.
That is a lot of niggers.
That's a lot of niggers.
That's way too many Sun Men for me, Jack.
Oh shit! It's starting a Sun Men marathon, or more like a Sun Men sprint.
It's a Sun marathon.
It's a Philadelphia marathon.
It's the Sun Run.
The Sun Run. By the time gunfire ended, three people were dead and 12 more were hurt. It's just the gun was firing. What about the sun
Multiple
fire?
Philadelphia police
oh, man.
Officer.
This
is
good. Lady.
This is my favorite
Daniel
sun.
Daniel Outlaw.
Yeah, that's the funniest
Holy shit,
thing.
I didn't notice
broad's
that.
His name is Outlaw.
All right, let's listen
it's
to
like,
it. Oh, there's a good. I want to hear what she has to say.
That's a good between frames face.
Yeah.
Multiple Philadelphia police officers were stationed on South Street when they heard multiple gunshots coming from the area of 400 South Street. The officer drew his weapon and fired several times in the direction of the unknown male, we believe striking him. The unknown male dropped his handgun on
the sidewalk.
Probably
black cops just got in on it, too. They're like, oh, shit.
And ran southbound on 600 American Street. The male was then lost in the area.
Yeah, that sounds like something.
Wait, they lost him?
American Street, yeah. Yep.
At this time, we believe that one of the three decedents was a male involved in a physical altercation with another male that was potentially the genesis of the shooting. These individuals eventually began firing at one another, with both being struck, one fatally. We also believe that the two other decedents, as well as a number of other shooting victims, were uninvolved in the initial altercation.
Thanks, New York Times.
Well, that was some impressive vocabulary for a black woman.
Do you remember what those words mean?
Should be the press secretary.
Do you remember the cops in Idiocracy?
Yes.
Yeah.
It's even funnier now because it's blacks. Like, those were all white guys. This particular individual inside the domicile on the premises.
The fact that it was like a black woman makes it even better today.
I'm in the wrong line.
Yeah, right,
you gotta let me
know. I'm supposed to be getting out today. Get her! These decedents.
Yeah, that was an interesting word for her to use. I'm like, oh, wow. Usually they say it's something else. One of the dead niggas.
One of these dead-ass niggas.
These two niggas started a fight. Both of them is dead now.
Fuck. I think that was all I had on that. Was there something in that thread that I found funny? See, this is the problem with, like, I've set this up as prep. I don't remember why. South Street looks darker than it did 10 years ago. The whole city has changed. That's a damn shame.
The whole city has changed.
No.
How has it changed?
Well... You lot ever have a day...
fucking nigger.
You lot ever have a day off shooting someone? I can only imagine that's how that person...
You lot ever have a day off?
Here's a good one.
Is that like some
take
fucking,
a day off. Take a vacation shooting yourself. Like,
I would imagine so.
Who else I love to shut these lip-tarded Euro fags up. Yeah, but...
I don't get
that's
this.
That's a wildly improper.
Which one's the bad guy? Which one's the good guy?
Well, they're both those guys are white, so this is fake and probably, from a Guy Ritchie movie.
They're probably both good guys because they're both white.
Well, they're both actors. This has got to be a screenshot from a film.
This is Matthew McConaughey. Yeah.
Like, in reality, like, both of them are niggers. Neither one of them are good guys.
Yes, and they're holding the gun like this.
Yeah,
and they're doing some monkey shines.
And like in that
they're
case, in that case,
pointing at, yeah.
In that case, there was one guy with that's right. New York Times didn't show the other video. They didn't show the video of the fight starting. The guy pulled his gun out.
But that's also just now autism has been triggered. Like that's not even an honest representation of what people mean when they talk about good guy with
a
gun.
No, not at all.
Because a good guy with a gun isn't showing up to fight. He just happens to have a gun on him when some shit pops off, and he's able to do something about it. That's the implication of it. That when conservatives talk about good guy with a gun. And look, it doesn't happen all the time. It's happened a few times, though. There have been cases where somebody with a gun has taken out somebody who actually has shot somebody who was shooting people randomly or whatever, has protected people.
And you know what? The good guy with the gun that they like is the cops. And they show up after it's too late.
Well,
if you even like the cops, but like, I mean, they show up after everyone's bleeding on the ground, the good guy with the gun shows up to...
Good guy with a gun is, like, fine, but it's like, sure. Like, I'm not... against the idea of it. It happens sometimes, but a lot of times it doesn't. And there's probably times when there's somebody who is a good guy that has a gun who's like, I'm not getting involved.
But I'm just, I have not been willing to argue on that line of thinking for a long time. Like, I don't want, my question is, what's with these bad guys with the guns? We know who they are. We know where they get their guns.
Right.
We know what they're all about. And we have the technology to suppress them and destroy their urges to do violence and prevent them from doing so. We just choose not to because there's other political ideas on the agenda that come first at this point.
I would say this to libtards. Serious question, libtards. America has not always had this problem.
Nope.
Yet, what was it about the America that didn't have this problem that was different?
Jim Crow.
Well, that goes back to America's horrible, brutal history with racist violence and oppression and discrimination.
It seems to have some upsides.
So we actually have a clear correlation between a society that is racially segregated.
What the fuck?
And lower crime. But now we've got article.
The thing is, though, I don't want people to look back. Oh my God, what is this?
Is it haram to be black?
Okay, hold on. This is some strong.
Is there more of it than that?
This is some strong Duganism.
Is it haram to be black? Yes.
Yes. Nice.
Well,
okay. I'm convinced.
All the blacks.
I was not expecting that. Let's give that a real quick.
I mean, this
retweet.
This is why I've always been a secret Muslim sympathizer.
Me, I'm overt. Allahu Akbar. It is haram to be black. Yes.
It's definitely haram to be Jewish. But like, okay. So
I'm
sorry. I want to read this Neil Steinberg article because
this plays into
these arguments that we're having here.
Okay.
This will get at the root of like why libtards can't think. And this is a very good example. Now this guy's a Jew and he's trying to do a clever gotcha. There's a lot of people that are only reading the headline and jumping to conclusions, but I've got a much better troll. So I've got
the
article up there. This is why restrict child porn.
Can we talk about the picture for a second? Jesus
but not
Christ.
First of all, that picture is interesting because we have what appears to be a mulatto in front of a suburban home with a lot of guns. Now, I'm not sure what this is exactly.
Warning,
what is going on
his
here.
T-shirt says, warning, I shoot shit. He's got a lot of assault rifles lined up on his front walk.
Well,
two.
Says this photo is from
not a magazine in any of these guns, so that looks very safe.
Okay.
Hold on a second, though. This photo is from. We can explore this in a second. This photo is from the AmeriGuns, a photographic exploration of our nation's love affair with guns by Italian photographer Gabriella Galimberti. So we can check out the AmeriGuns in a second.
What does she look like?
I don't know if it's a woman. It might be a dude, Gabrielle or Gabriella, whatever. It could be a girl. Who cares? Let's explore that in a second.
Yeah, go
but
ahead.
First,
I'm sorry.
I want to read the article.
Yeah.
We can do the AmeriGuns in a second. So it says, why restrict child porn but not guns? We eagerly limit our constitutional rights to shield children from one peril only to shrug off a far worse danger. So let me just read this for a little bit. It says, God bless free speech is what allows columnists or anybody else to write whatever we want without fear of government is going to haul us off to jail. I mean, we can leave other stuff on the table here, right? In Russia, you can go to prison for calling their war against Ukraine a war. That's not true, actually, but whatever. We'll go with that. In China, you get sent to camp for adhering to certain religions. Okay, fine.
Free speech
is so important to the United States. It is the First Amendment to our Constitution. Congress shall make no law respecting the establishment of religion or prohibiting free exercise thereof or abridging the freedom of speech. Not only am I allowed to air the truth as I see it, Donald Trump is a traitor who should be in prison, but all sorts of salacious materials are permitted. But they didn't used to be.
That's true.
Used to not be considered to be part of free speech.
Only a Jew would conflate child porn with free speech.
Right.
This is problem number one with this. So essentially the argument he makes is, says, courts decided grudgingly that offensive artworks and obscene comedy sketches and extreme pornographic videos are also free speech and cannot be banned. Where Jewish courts. That was when Jews did that, right? Jews made those decisions.
Yeah, because we've done this before. Exactly what is the what message are you conveying with child porn?
Yes.
It's supposed to be speech, right? So, okay, what's the message?
So here's where he makes the worst. This is where the thing falls apart on a number of fronts, but we'll just start here. There are, of course, exceptions. Free speech doesn't permit you to shout fire, blah, blah, blah. And then he says, he goes through a case of that. He says, nor can you own child pornography. And it's important to understand why. Child pornography, first of all, it's not child pornography. It's child sexual abuse materials. Get the terminology correct.
Yep.
Child pornography is among the most restricted material in our society. You don't have to produce it or sell it to commit a crime. It's a crime simply to possess it. Yes. Why does child pornography merit such a high level of suppression? I'll give you a hint. It's called child pornography. Children cannot consent to sexual acts, blah, 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 are severely damaged by being forced to do so. Child pornography hurts children. So we fight it with all the legal might our nation can bring to bear, even if it infringes on our fundamental freedoms. Except it doesn't.
It doesn't. No, it doesn't infringe on anything.
There's no freedom that is infringed. So your argument is already off to a bad start. I see where you're going. But your argument's already off to a bad start because there is no fundamental right of freedom that is abridged by the fact that you're not allowed to distribute materials of people being abused. Okay? You're not allowed to film and sell images of people being abused, children being abused. You're simply not allowed to do it. Although that's probably going to come under question pretty soon. I mean, Jews are working on that. Don't get me wrong.
The
fact that there's even a conversation about this is because there's Jews. And the fact that other types of pornography were allowed is because of Jews, because it didn't used to be. When the founders founded this nation, you could go to jail for obscenity, and they did not consider that to be in any way contradictory to the First Amendment.
Right.
And that's the correct view of it, because it's not. Obscenity is not free speech.
No, but what? Who gets to judge? Who gets to judge what is and isn't obscenity?
Me.
Well, we do.
Me.
Yeah,
not
we get to
Jews.
Judge that. Yeah, not people that the people that ask that question don't get to judge it.
Right. Obviously not.
If you're asking that question trying to make a point, you've excluded yourself from being allowed to judge it. No. We know and we see it, and you're not allowed to do it. That's it. Like someone's always making a call. Jews only do this fucking deconstructionism stuff when they're the ones not making the calls. They only deconstruct systems that they don't control. That's fucking fundamental, right? So that's right off the bat, he's wrong. Okay. So he says, To summarize, an essential part of the Constitution gives Americans a right, but that right is limited when the free exercise of it harms children. No. No. Because I don't accept that premise in the slightest. However, I will accept it to troll you in a second. So he says, so why the trouble with guns? Why does the logic universally accepted regarding the First Amendment completely fall apart when we get to the second? The harm to children from guns far exceeds the harm done by child pornography. I don't know how you'd measure that, but whatever. Over the last two decades, more children have died from guns than on duty police officers and active duty military combined.
He should just He should just make the good guy with the child porn argument. What about the good guy with the child porn? We need him to stop the.
I would say that could be a show title, but I don't want to do it. It's a good joke.
I'm not writing it down anywhere. That's just
don't even write it down.
No, I'm not writing it down. That's not a note. That is, I just said that.
Child porn. Well, the good guy with the child porn is the one who's like, I'm researching how to like stop it.
It's like Scott Wiener out in California.
Like Pete Townsend, right? Remember that? I'm sorry.
Good guy with the child.
I'm sorry.
Porn. I mean,
anyway,
that's kind of what's missing. Oh, well, whatever. Whole thing is
I don't want to get digressed into that discussion. Not really the point here. So it says, think about that. More kids than on-duty cops killed by guns, more kids and soldiers killed by guns in the last two decades in America. Okay. And most of them were black, let's be honest. Unlike the words of our previous president, that's not only true, but an understatement. It says, the far right have a twisted logic about gun laws that goes like this. The Second Amendment is such an absolute value that even the most common sense restriction... Don't sell assault rifles to teenagers, a step toward the boogeyman of total confiscation.
Yeah.
Ban 50 caliber bullets. They're thinking, don't respond. Let me, because I have the best response. Ban 50 caliber bullets. That the thinking goes and the black helicopters are on their way. As they repeat that over and over, remember by their reasoning, child pornography should be legal out of respect for the First Amendment with the harm it causes children shrugged off. No. How about this though? But if you're willing, you're saying, so he's saying he sees. Apparently, he sees child pornography as an essential freedom. As a Jew, he sees child pornography as an essential freedom that he's willing to compromise. So he's saying, like, let's compromise on the First Amendment, our most sacred value, for the to protect children. Okay. Well, how about instead of – why don't we compromise on the Civil Rights Act?
Yeah.
Because if we're willing to – if we understand that we have these sacred values, but we will compromise them because sometimes – The reductio absurdum.
I'll meet him halfway. Actually, we could come to an agreement here. I agree to some gun restrictions as long as we can legally discriminate against blacks.
Ban guns for black people.
Yeah, we're also
that's what I'm saying.
That's two birds with one stone.
So now we're compromising on the 14th Amendment as well, which I'm all good on. It works for me.
Children are getting hurt here.
That's right. Black children. We saw those two niggers shoot themselves in the head in the bathroom at a birthday party at 2 o'clock in the morning.
Children are being harmed.
That right there
overwhelmingly is... Overwhelmingly black children.
By black firearms. Black-owned firearms.
Right. So, like,
we have the receipts.
Here's my question to him. If you're saying the Second Amendment is so sacred to right-wingers that any restriction on it is a slippery slope, well, is civil rights so sacred to you that you're willing to see children hurt over it? I mean, look, we could stop the violence by saying black people cannot have guns.
Yeah.
That would stop like 99% of this violence in America. So
I mean,
let's do it.
As long as you're not just dogmatically committed to some sort of stupid ideological principle.
Right. I mean,
let's not absolutist about
it. You wouldn't want to be like so committed to
that's
the,
just fanaticism.
You know, it's not as if like any amount of compromise on the Civil Rights Act means the jackboots of fascism are on their way.
Yeah,
right?
No, it doesn't mean that we're going to literally kill black people. I mean,
children are being harmed. It is time for a common sense compromise.
Yeah. You've got it. That's, I mean, I can't go any, I got nothing.
He makes a lot of mistakes, like the idea that child porn is like some kind of freedom that's being restricted. I mean, that's a big problem right away. But let's just, purely for the sake of argument, I do not agree with it, but purely for the sake of argument, like I'll accept it and go to the next thing because it's like, okay, so everybody gets it. It's like, but what would happen? Seriously, I want somebody to propose this to this guy. Like, we should actually email him. Like, a lot of people should email him this proposal. Or just respond to him on Twitter. Because right now, conservatives are responding to him on Twitter just calling him a pedophile. But that's not really what's going on here. I think the far better thing is like, all right, if we're compromising on sacred values, civil rights. I mean, it's black people doing the shooting, so black people should not have guns. I mean, you want it? You're willing to compromise on the Second Amendment.
Uh-huh.
So am I. I'm willing to compromise on the Second Amendment for blacks.
It's the most effective change you can make. I mean, the numbers don't
I mean, this lie. Is a, this is a targeted I mean, policy that it creates honestly, the outcome we want while harming the fewest number of people.
Think about it. If you restrict guns for blacks, like, conservatives won't be able to hold Chicago over your head anymore every time something bad happens.
There you go.
Yeah.
Probably the Buffalo guy wouldn't have, well, who knows, he was groomed by the FBI, so he might have done
it. What you want to do is take away arguments from us, and that's how you do it.
Yes. Yeah, and clearly just the geographical restriction doesn't matter because, you know, it's not just like you can't have them here. It's like, no, a black person cannot have a gun.
None.
Period. So if they have one, that's breaking the law. They go to jail and they get in a lot of trouble and the gun gets taken away.
Can we also take away their right to, like, legal representation? Or is that too far?
I don't think we need to do that.
Okay.
Like, because my thing is, like, the thing that's happening, well, what we should do is,
you wouldn't need to do much. You could just undo things like policies banning racial discrimination in housing and things like
that. Hmm. There's so much stuff that it's like
just very minor modifications.
I actually am very much of the view we don't need to get rid of, like, things that actually make us free in order to, like, own niggers, because, like, all we have to do is just basic rules.
And, well, that,
like,
was one of my
owned inherently. Yeah.
I had a little adjustment to the legal system I want to make. This is one of my novelty. This is the one that would make you mad, I think. I think that maybe not across the board, but I think attorney-client privilege needs to be reexamined and reassessed of what the value of that is. Like, I think, like, because if we take what's his face's argument, what do you call that plea he did? Where basically no contest.
Alfred plea.
Okay, mm-hmm. There's that. Or if you take, like, let's take the Central Park Five, how they basically confessed to everything, and then it was alleged that this was all coerced or yada yada yada.
Well, my thing is, though, I have a problem with that. You're right.
I know. The reason
I do is because the problem here isn't race ideology.
Yeah, I know.
Like, let's just throw race ideology, let's throw anti-white race ideology in the trash, and then none of these things are a problem. Central Park people go to jail. Arthur Collie probably gets executed. Like, that's, and everybody can still have their other rights, right? Like, we don't need to make ourselves less free. That's what I'm saying. Like, I kind of think that freedom.
There is a bit of an issue when you try to take a sophisticated legal system that you would find in a white or Asian society, and then you apply that to blacks. You're going to make a lot of work for yourself.
Yeah. I just don't
make a lot of work for yourself, but
I just think of these Judaized, like, all this rights of the accused stuff. It's like there's too much.
But think about this.
See, I was watching Better Call Saul. I was watching the other show. Not, like, the Better Call Saul. The Breaking Bad. I know. But they brazenly, like, put these memes on display of what's about that. So somebody just confesses to you a major crime. And Saul Goodman says, put a dollar in my pocket. Okay, now I'm your lawyer. It's official. Now everything you tell me is attorney-client. Like, why should attorney-client privilege be, my attorney knows I committed a crime, but he can still give me, he can lie and defend me in court. Like, I don't think that should be allowed. I think you as an officer of the court, you should be part of law enforcement.
But again,
I don't like that stuff. Pisses me off.
That is not...
I know.
The point is to make the prosecution work for it.
Yeah, no,
How's that worked out for us lately?
Well, how's, like, fucking race? How does, like, Jewish race ideology
work? I know,
that
supersedes it all, I know. But this is
part
of it.
Like, it's just, that's what really it's coming from, though.
Yeah.
Like, because these things are a problem because people are, like, you can't, whatever system you put in place of that will also, they'll also abuse that. They'll find a way, like, you can't have that's what I'm saying, unless you address the core problem. You can't design your way around it.
If you're,
yeah.
The thing is, you would need different legal systems for different peoples.
Yeah,
like,
there's that. Yeah,
say, blacks, for example. Blacks, you probably need something like the Judge Dredd system.
But we did have a different legal system for blacks.
No, I'm right. That would work.
No, but think about this. We used to have a different legal system for blacks. Now, it was nominally the same, but what it was this constant churn. where the blacks come in, they're guilty as sin, and the cases just get moved through. The prosecutors and judges and defense, they just move them through. Boom, 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 right? And the blacks are too dumb to try and do anything or understand what rights they have, whatever. So the attorney's just like, all right, so you're pleading, we're doing this, we're doing this, we're doing this. And, like, you know, so we can take that system, that same thing. Black gets an attorney, and that attorney's job is to accept the sentence that the judge hands down. Okay, this black is guilty of sin. He's going to go to jail for this many years, or he's going to get executed, or he's going to whatever. And the defense attorney's like, yes, the defense rests, Your Honor.
I think I like my system because it's going to be better on resources. One thing, you're going to manage your resources better. And we have technology now. We have video cameras. We have officer cameras. So all you have to do is just review the footage of whatever Judge Dredd did whatever to said black individual. As long as he did what he was supposed to, what's the problem?
Yeah.
Well, this Negro gentleman was waving a gun around and was shooting at people, and so I pronounced judgment on the spot and ended the threat. Okay.
Yeah, I would say we could do that. I would also say we could waive like jury trials for this type of shit, so the judge can just like not.
Here's one of the things is we have this technology now that we didn't have when the legal system was being developed. We have video evidence. If you're on video doing something to someone, why do we need a trial?
Right. At that point, it's like you don't need a jury. Now you just have a judge pronounce.
Here you are stabbing someone to death. The judge saw you do it, and then he shot you dead.
I didn't do it. I'm crazy. Oh, you're crazy. Okay, let's execute you right now.
I will then clearly
definitely putting you down now.
Definitely putting
you down. That's my thing is like if the not fit to stand trial defense doesn't result in like execution, like what's the point? Like this person doesn't know not to kill people. All right, well,
we do the opposite with animals.
You know,
we go, that dog is rabid and it's a threat. We gotta kill it. Sorry.
Well, as soon as a dog mauls a person, it gets humanely destroyed.
Except in my state, he gets a free bite.
He was humanely destroyed. Start saying that about people like Arthur Colley. Arthur Colley needs to be humanely destroyed.
So basically, yeah, what we're talking about here is the Judge Dredd or the dog catcher system.
Well, yeah, it's kind of the same thing. I think you could do that while retaining, like that is possible while retaining like essentially constitutional rights.
Yeah. Well, we'll review the footage.
Oh, for God's sake.
Right. No, I see what you're saying, but again, I feel like the first thing we do is we have to destroy Jewish race ideology. Because remember, in the past, we had the Constitution and blacks were under control. Like, we've had that world. So the issue isn't the Constitution. The issue is Jews and race ideology.
But we also didn't have the Miranda rights, which was part of race ideology. I don't. Were that many falsely accused murderers because they?
All right. I mean, also like.
I was reading Robert Bork on this stuff a while ago, and it was just like he brings all this shit up. Basically, all this stuff was designed in the '60s during the civil rights era to just basically make it harder to prosecute criminals. And
right. So fine. Okay. Fine.
You made it not fun.
But again, the first hill to climb is to make people aware and understand that the fundamental breakdown in the system is not like what I don't like is the idea that like white people have not done anything to make restricting their freedom something that should be done at all.
That
like,
is true.
And that's the other thing. We have to get rid of the idea that like everything has to apply to everybody because no, it doesn't.
Mm hmm.
Like clearly, like blacks need a different set of rules. Once we can accept that, then we can quibble over the details of that later on. But like the first thing that has to go is racial ideology, and racial ideology is not all races are created equal. That's a cover story. Racial ideology is white people have to die.
Yeah,
and like blacks and like faggots and beaners are like morally superior to whites. Like all non-whites are morally superior.
It's white genocide.
Blacks the most superior. Yeah.
It is absolute white genocide. And that is the agenda. I saw somebody, I don't know what it was, somebody was trying to police white genocide. Like, shock the fuck, it's white genocide. That's what this is. This is killing.
No. Here's what I'll say to white people. Unless someone's being like legitimately totally retarded, but like a saying or a statement like white genocide is not the issue. When you engage in the sort of self-policing of the white. I'm also thinking, like, even stuff that might be like cringy or stupid should just be like, nobody should, like, you shouldn't spend time worrying it about it.
There's no
because
reason to do
nobody
this.
Else does this.
No.
Right? Like, because it goes back, it's the whole optics thing. I think you don't, the perfect presentation isn't going to get you any further than yelling like a retard or something like that. Like, it doesn't matter. Mm-hmm. Like, just make everybody in this country understand you're going to get all kinds of people speaking out on behalf of whites, and it's going to come from all different directions, and it's going to be sounding a lot of different ways. I don't care. Some people say, so you all don't say white genocide. No, how about we say white genocide? How about we say it louder because we know it bothers them? Say replacement. So don't say theory. Say, you know, the great replacement as a fact, because that's what it is. Like, if they're telling you they don't like it, then just double down, triple down on it.
But that's,
like, fuck
that's,
this.
That's cringe, Mike. It's very cringe.
I don't give a shit. If something is cringe, so what?
A guy on the internet told me it was cringe. Who am I to argue?
Well, shut up. You know, yeah, what's cringe is constantly policing white people's speech. When you should just be like, yeah, white genocide, that's great. Replacement theory, what okay, the cool. Fuck? Like, fuck Jews, that's fine too. Okay, cool. Holocaust is fake, yes. Like, who gives
why,
a shit?
Why is it that people on the right are always having these kinds of conversations?
Because
publicly,
too,
other people can see it. Like, oh well, we shouldn't use this word. I don't know. We got to think about our strategy.
Because they actually don't understand the worst strategy in the world is publicly discussing strategy in internet chats. Like, you automatic if you're doing that. Let me just say this: you are a walking self-detonating meme. Because no matter what, there is no worse strategy. And I guess I'm falling prey to it here too. So I'm like, again,
well,
the cycle
is
of...
this is meta strategy.
No, yeah, you're not being divisive when you point out divisiveness. You're not. Yeah,
but
it's meta.
The very worst strategy is online strategy sessions, public online strategy sessions. Okay, I'm just gonna tell you that is a very bad that. So when you do that, you are a self-refuting mean. You can't possibly know what's good strategy if you're engaging in that.
Was it Borzoi the other day was talking about this tendency to be a used car salesman and have these discussions about, well, we could perhaps we could hitch our wagon to this thing over here that's going on,
yeah,
and we can make some gains that way.
We have always been against that tendency, and I'm actually seeing that tendency is starting to die off. And it's also like typically what that is it's like when somebody is new to this, and they come in. One of the things that's sort of interesting, I was having this conversation with somebody over the weekend where they're like, it's funny how oftentimes a lot of guys come in and they're like new, and then they kind of all run with this same theory of like, let's use things that people are already okay signaling public belief in, like patriotism or the American flag or something like that,
yep,
and then attach our politics to them. And like, it's sort of like everybody, not everybody, but a lot of people feel like that it seems to make sense. I'm not going to say, you know, we've learned through experience that it's stupid, but like, I get why people always think it. But the question is, though, to the person saying that, it's like, well, is that why you're here? And the answer will universally be no. It's like, were you here because somebody put a Star Spangled Banner on the word nigger? Like, are you here because somebody was like, I'm racist and don't like Jews, but I'm also waving an American flag? Is that what brought you in? And like, no, I just was brought in by the ideas. It's like, okay, so you have so little faith? You think other people need to be tricked? You know what I mean? It's like, you can't find a single person. Find me a single person that's a white nationalist. It was like, I became a white nationalist because somebody waved a flag and said, I hate blacks and Jews while waving an American
somebody
flag.
Somebody tricked
find
me.
Find me a single person that did it.
I was radicalized.
You will not find a single one.
I was radicalized through trickery. I didn't know what I was getting.
I was radicalized right by somebody pretending to be patriotic. You won't find a single person saying that. So why not just do what fucking brought you in?
Right. Yeah, because one of the things they talk about, for example, be COVID politics. Maybe we could reach the normies because of the vaccine side effects. Maybe we could use that as our soapbox. We could get up there and tell them it's just the Jews and make progress that way.
Oh, well, one of the problems with that kind of thing is it's sort of like this guy's really busy, so he's the guy that I should ask to do something.
Mm-hmm.
Like, I need something done, so let me find the guy who's doing everything and have him do it too. Like, you know, it's like, so it's sort of like, it's like, see, the problem is, there's like a limited amount of capacity for political stuff. And when you
bandwidth.
Right. There's limited. I was trying to think of the right word. Right. That's basically. So these people's political bandwidth is already taken up with that stuff. And the more super into a thing somebody is, the more like they seem like a prospect because they're online doing politics all the time. So you're running into them. The problem is, though, that they're already totally invested in narratives. Now you're just going to be arguing. You're going to spend your time arguing with them, right? Whereas, like, when you find people who are generally discontented but aren't, like, super ideological on something, you know. Or again, I don't even really have any strategy. All I know is that when we went and talked to those boomers, they were just right there with us. Also because we did an action on behalf of a real thing. That was
another
thing.
And that's a big thing right there. They're doing an action that everyone likes. See, that's
yeah, on behalf of a real thing.
That kind of says, though, that there's a very large unmet need for this kind of stuff.
Well, there was also, because a lot, there is. But the coping.
Huge unmet market for this.
The coping from detractors is all like, nobody likes this. It's like, oh, yes, they do. You're just used to no one liking you.
Well, those people are just liars.
Yeah,
like,
they're liars. And there's no reason to believe that narrative because everybody loves a confident white guy saying nigger. Everybody likes that.
People just agree with nobody likes fucking a nigger killing a 14-year-old girl and getting away with it. Yep. Nobody likes that.
Right.
And if you think that they do, go and tell them that. Look, if you think that people like are indifferent to that, you're wrong.
Or if you think
they're not indifferent, they're afraid.
Or if they're gonna,
when somebody goes and does something, they're like, "Good, finally." That was the sentiment we got from these people. Was thank God, finally somebody's saying it. So that's the real sentiment among real, actual your so-called normie conservatives, who just loved us when we were hanging out with them. They just loved it. They thought it was great. They thought it was the best shit. And when we were trolling those trantifas, they thought it was just about the funniest, greatest thing they'd seen in a long ass time. They had not, you know, they were just highly entertained and amused, and they just absolutely loved it. So fuck all that shit. Like, nah, you can easily make connections with the people in real life. That's the other problem is the internet makes it a barrier because people are like hyper ideological on the internet. Where in real life, it's like, oh yeah, you're a human being. I'm a human being. A white girl was killed by a savage nigger and the government's trying to get him off. Yeah, I hate that and you hate that. And we're both people here standing there and we both hate this. Okay, we're cool with each other.
Oh, wait a second. Are you a Duganist? No, I'm for her being killed now. Wait, do you like brown Palestinian? Oh, I have to reject your everything. I have to reject it all now. Wait, did you not signal against the COVID vaccine in the specific way that I prefer? No, now Jupiter Paulson, no justice for her. I'm sorry. You're clearly
none of those people probably liked vaccines either. So it's not like who fucking cares, right? It's not even. I'm sure they were all anti-vaxxers. So what? I don't give a shit. They don't care a shit. Yeah. It's not relevant anymore.
It's always relevant. It's all that's relevant.
So yeah. Anyway, that was very moralizing. And the thing was, because if they were now, the time you'd get into a conflict with conservatives would be if they're also there for something political. Like if you go out to a political event where conservatives are doing a politics and you try and insert yours, then you're going to get into a thing. But those were just average people. I'm sure they all love Trump and all that crap, but that's just because it's like Trump said he's going to get rid of beaners. They're like, all right. But yeah. So that's why I'm like so want to do more. I just like real life stuff. Like I get so tired of the online crap and posting and memes. And I like memes. Don't get me wrong. I'm never tired of memes.
Well, the thing is, if you interact with people online for any length of time, you'll just turn into an asshole.
Yeah. Well, you do, and people become hyper defensive assholes online, and so you have to like break them of that. Like, although it comes in handy when you interact with like actual enemies, like the Trantifas. Like then all the years of trolling. serves you well because you just know how to deeply how to troll these people like in real very harmful ways. But of course, we would never do any harm. But we were even speculating that they might file hate crime charges against us, or at least against Peter Taft because he lives there and they know who he is. because of like any like things that may have been said during that thing. Of course, I didn't hear any such things, but you know, I could see them, you know, in a sort of unscrupulous way. But even if they do that, like let's say, because we had a protest on a corner and things were yelled between two groups of competing political groups. And one of them gets charged, like somebody gets charged like a hate crime for words that may or may not have been said. But Arthur Colley, who stalked and tortured a girl for 25 minutes and she died after 4 days in a coma. He's going to get all the protection. It's like, go ahead, just demonstrate how awful, corrupt, and evil the system is. Just make it plain for everybody.
Complete insanity, then. I was out of my mind that particular day.
Or just tell people, like, this is what the system does. I'm white, and look what they're doing to me. And look at, like, I've never hurt anybody, and look at this guy. Look what they're doing to him. It's like almost the best propaganda they can hand you.
Yeah, they treat white words worse than black murders.
I'll say also this about Peter Tepft is that he's like a known local guy for doing this kind of stuff. And because he's been out there doing it active and vocal under his own name and face for so long, he's like a pain in the ass to all the local authorities and he's known around that town. It almost is like a layer of protection for him.
Yeah.
Because now if he gets fucked with, it's like, see, they're fucking with me because they hate white people. It's like he can always do that, right. And people will take notice because people know who he is. So he's actually got a certain amount of influence. Not a lot, but some. And such that, like, actually, you know, people, they have to worry about him. And they also have to worry about fucking with him because they know that he can create a problem for them. So it's like, there you go. That's actually how – that's – you want to talk about nuts and bolts politics? That's what it is. That's what it is.
No, we're doing nuts and bolts cult politics. Nuts, yes. And cults politics.
Nuts and cult politics.
That's us.
Is that a show title?
Yeah, that's the show. I had the great gender reset, but I like nuts and cults politics. That's us.
Nuts and cults.
Because we're building a cult here. We're the only way.
Yeah.
I mean, but, nobody else showed up, so I can't really.
No, I mean, being kind of like the guy, being that guy. That it's almost like, white people need that. White people need that it to be one. You can be sure, even if you're like a white person is like doesn't like, there's on the fence about the politics, doesn't get in trouble, but then something happens to you. If you know that, like, we're gonna be there, like yelling at the government with a megaphone, and also it's like at some point it's like, all right, government, I know you desperately want to fuck with us, but if you do, you just give us more propaganda. You just make us stronger.
Jesus.
Is this the anniversary of the USS Liberty being attacked?
I think so. I'm seeing posters around there.
It is.
Fantastic. Well,
have you heard this theory that one of the guys that was a survivor of the USS Liberty and didn't keep his mouth shut, even though he was supposed to, like his granddaughter was Lacey Peterson? Who was the woman that was like murdered by her husband while she was pregnant?
Oh wow!
Yeah, and this was some kind of Jewish revenge plot on this guy for not keeping his mouth shut about the Liberty. They had somebody go and like murder his granddaughter and kill her fetus.
Jesus,
I don't know if it's look again. She definitely was murdered.
Yeah,
and she was pregnant when she was murdered. And one of the controversies there was like she was the Scott Peterson, her husband.
Well, he didn't
get
away with it.
I believe
they put him away.
The question is like, was it him that did it? But I'm not doing that. Right. I'm not doing that because I don't know. I have no idea. I haven't looked into it. But they gave him the issue was he was charged with two murders,
right?
Because he killed the baby, which was still a fetus at the time.
Yeah.
So he was actually charged with two counts of murder, which was a political controversy and made the case a national thing about whether or not like this. And of course, it's also because it's a white guy killing somebody. It was, you know, man bites dog. So it's just not usual, particularly like a affluent, upper middle class suburban family that this happened to is very unusual. So it became a national story for a little while. Also, it was one of those where the kind of thing where they made such a big deal out of this story that it leads people to do the thing of, well, you know, when it bleeds, it leads. And it's like, well, that's not really true because It does. Like, if that were true, there'd be blacks on the cover of every newspaper all the time. But yeah, I would say right. If it's Heebs, it leads.
Yeah.
If it's for Heebs, it leads. But yeah, I don't know. So I've heard this. I'm not sure if it's true, but it's something worth looking into at least.
I'd almost forgotten about that case.
Yeah, well, it wasn't all that. It wasn't really a huge thing. It was like, okay, there was this murder, and it was very unusual because it was like upper middle class white people. But then the issue came in with the charging you with two counts because of the fetus that he killed, which raises the issue of like killing a fetus is murder because she had intended to have the child, like she wanted to have the baby, so murder. Right. But if she, well, but I mean,
it's pretty grisly because they found the fetus and he had clearly strangled it. And I guess stabbed it.
Yeah, he had. Yes.
Whoosh, man.
No, it was the thing is messed up.
This is fucking brutal.
Yeah, it was messed up. It was the whole thing was messed up. But I don't remember all the ins and outs of the details of why they definitely knew it was him or thought it was him or what the deal was. And people were saying he was acting really weird afterwards, like he was golfing and shit, like it wasn't a thing and whatnot. So I don't remember all of it. I don't, you know. But yeah.
Well, it was one of those.
But I did hear.
It was one of those like, let's not get anything too serious like tabloid news stories. Like they took this murder.
Yeah, it was another. It was also like a Casey Anthony type thing. Casey Anthony, all the people. This is another
Chandra case Levy. Where somebody got a death sentence, but then they found a technicality and were able to use a technicality to get rid of the death sentence.
And he was white.
Yeah,
fucking stupid.
But yeah, I heard that like her. Grandpa was like a USS Liberty survivor who was like speaking out about it.
I didn't know that. I never heard that before.
That could literally be a coincidence, though. Like, I don't
know.
That is
crazy.
I don't know. It could also just be not true.
Yeah.
It could also just be totally wrong.
Yeah. We just made up.
Be somebody just like, or somebody just made a big mistake and just got something really wrong. But yeah. Who knows?
Right.
Or maybe this guy spoke out about the USS Liberty and Jews had his granddaughter and her baby murdered. I mean, you know, we live in a, you know, could happen. Could that would not totally surprise me.
I wouldn't be surprised, you know, in any way if that was the case. No. Would not put it past them.
Yeah.
Anyway.
Oh, no, I think he was her stepfather. I think he was not her grandfather, but her stepfather. Something, I don't know. I'd have to look at it again. Something on people are going off about it on Gab. So
you've dug your own grave and you've lied enough here.
Yeah, yeah. There's been too many lies. I need to stop.
You can only handle so many lies per show.
Yeah.
So, oh well. Anyway, I think that's good enough here. I think we've got it under control.
You don't want to burn everything. I actually got something funny for. If I say I've got it for next time, I'll probably forget about it. But I found this page. That it was like the top 100 gay leaders in America, and it's like just worth scrolling through.
Oh God! All right, sounds like fun.
Because you can imagine the sort, and boy, the overrepresentation. You want to talk about Jewish overrepresentation? Oh my God!
Awesome.
This is like got to be at least half.
All right.
Yeah, it's just a total freak show. Yeah.
All right. Cool. Well, we'll see everybody tomorrow. I'm going to try to do a thing. I don't know. And you and Warren will do a thing. And that's
Maybe Warren and I can do the top 100 gay leaders in America.
Yeah, that sounds...
Just scrolling through the pictures. You know, just fucking, oh my God. Dude, it's like so bad.
All right, well, stay tuned for that. Yeah. Get behind your paywall.
Yeah.
I'll be there.
All right. All right.
Always give your best. Never get discouraged. Never be petty. Always remember. Others may hate. Those who hate you don't hate unless you hate them. Then you destroy yourself.